All right, it's Wednesday night. It's almost midnight. I mean, it was 4 a.m., but I had to shoot one final report here to kind of recap what happened today with the surreal murder of Charlie Kirk in Utah. I got a call 30 minutes before Trump announced that he was dead from people on the ground. Law enforcement, they said, no, he died. Like, when they got there, he was dead on the platform, on the stage. I met Charlie back in 2016 at the RNC. He had these dreams, waking up young people and getting them to vote Republican and be anti-communist. I mean, it was amazing. He, hands down, was instrumental in winning the last election in November last year. So he was being targeted by the left as the number one enemy. And totally demonized everywhere. And then some lunatic goes out and kills him. Now there's a manhunt going on. But talking to law enforcement sources, they say, very professional head. We posted the HD video. I hate to watch it, but the left doesn't want you to see it, so you shouldn't go watch it. Big-ass bullet, man. I mean, we're talking 338 Lapua, 300 Win Mag, whatever it was. It was big. Because when the bullet goes in, it's tiny, and it blows out the back big. No, this was... I mean, when it hits, it's a big hole. Almost like a 50 cal. I mean, it is crazy. The hole is just giant. And that blood just sprays. And when I saw that, I said, he's dead. And then I got a call from law enforcement. They said, yeah, why are you reporting he's in critical condition? That's not true. I was like, I was going off mainstream media. They said, no, he died on the platform. He died on the platform. So this is a guy who was pro-free speech. For 9 years, went out to these campuses. They attacked him, everything. He knew what he was doing. Great courage. And then I've got clips. I'll play it tomorrow on the show, but you've all seen it. MSNBC, like, oh, looks like one of his fans had a gun and shot him on accident. The scumbaggery of these people celebrating his death. They're all over X. They're all over YouTube. Just, it's everywhere. Oh, great. He's dead. Yeah. Those people couldn't wipe their ass with both hands. They couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag. But man, they love death. They live in this free society that men fought and died for. And they sit around and shit on people like Charlie Kirk, who's just out promoting free speech. But here's what I really want to say. I know Trump's got a bunch of grand juries spun up. Not like 8 years ago. It was rumors. They're officially there. And I know they're subpoenaing people. I know they're about the deep state. That's why the deep state, the Democrats, are gearing this up, because they know Trump's coming. So Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Ed Martin, all of them have got to escalate and accelerate the timetable here. This is do or die for the country. And I know they know that. But the left has said, Trump's going to kill migrants. He's going to attack a protest. That's because they're getting ready to do it. Out of the parking garage or from a building just like this. And I believe they're going to probably use this Kirk thing when there's a new terror attack against the left and a couple hundred illegal aliens get killed or something to say it was because of response to Kirk. I'm seeing the setup. I'm seeing it happen. I know how to follow the enemy's operations, and I'm really concerned about that. So Charlie Kirk's assassination is a herald or a harbinger, a bellwether, an indicator of the coming false flag that's in the August 2020 Podesta plan for martial law, blue states seceding if Trump had won then. And they said last year, if Trump wins this time, we go with the Podesta plan. That's why I've been harping on this, because it's so key. So we love you, Charlie. We love your family. I'm glad Trump put a statement out tonight. This is a big deal. We're already forgetting about the woman killed in Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, folks, that's Alex Jones speaking his mind last night around midnight. He's probably up till 1, and then he was calling me at 7 this morning. This is a big deal, and obviously today it's the anniversary of September 11th. Typically, we plan on talking about that. We're just going to be talking about Charlie Kirk all day. We're going to start off with just some videos to remember him. Jesus Christ, we're 10 seconds in. Yeah, it's going to be hard to get through today. So we're going to do it. I'll talk about weirdly finding myself in the center of the maelstrom of all of this as a tweet from last month of mine went viral and is now everywhere. We'll break it all down, folks. Stay with us.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of mental drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles he would advance.
It's Thursday, September 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It's September 11th, 2025. Yesterday, Charlie Kirk was assassinated during a live event in Utah. The fallout is still coming, and we're gonna be talking about that all day. We'll talk about everything that has to do with it. We'll talk about Charlie Kirk himself and how, regardless of how you felt about him in life, and I know, you know, we have a problem on the right with infighting, but I'm glad to see pretty much everybody come together on this and just recognize that even if you disagreed with them on a topic or a position, I'm not gonna be able to do the show. I'm honestly not gonna be able to do the show. Why Charlie Kirk, man? He was just like the most decent person ever. And, should be a symbol to the rest of us. Like, he was a moderate. He was very polite. He was very generous. He was not an extremist. He was not a radical. And they're the one he killed. And they expect us to back down. They expect us to want to have a conversation with him now. You know, you killed the guy who wanted to have a conversation. Conversation time is over. So we're going to talk about Charlie Kirk. And again, just the response from the wider public is sort of unlike anything I've ever seen. Obviously, the demons on the left are celebrating this. We'll show you some of those clips. But I don't think they could have killed a better man. And we'll show you clips from everybody that knew him. Nobody has a bad word to say about this guy. Even the things that people do or used to, or even I would, you know, have some harsh words for Charlie at times. But it was about, you know, his arguments, the way he presented. I don't think anybody ever, on the right at least, had an issue with Charlie as a person. And that is pretty astonishing. Pretty unique. And, something we're celebrating. We're going to get into, obviously, the response from the left and the insanity that they are putting on display. Not just the radicals, not just the unemployed freaks, but like congressmen and talking heads at MSNBC. And we'll also be getting into my tweet from a month ago where I said that Charlie Kirk was afraid that Israel would kill him. And on that note, and again, we'll bring some updates. We do have some updates. We have some breaking news. Stephen Crowder has an exclusive leak from the ATF. Alex Jones is breaking some of it down. I have a video to show you from him. But it's been very weird. If you now go to like Benjamin Netanyahu's X profile and go to the post about Charlie Kirk, you see a screenshot of my post like over and over again. So that's cool. So now I'm on Benjamin Netanyahu's radar. That's interesting. And I got to be honest, when the here's the tweet I'm talking about in case you haven't seen it. About a month ago, Ian Carroll posted a video reacting to the clip of Charlie Kirk avoiding Nick Fuentes and calling him out for not debating Nick. And I responded, I'm not going to name names, but I was told by somebody close to Charlie Kirk that Charlie thinks Israel will kill him if he turns against them. And that's true. I heard that from a secondhand source, but it's a source that I trust, and I trust he's telling the truth about it. And again, it's, you know, I had this conversation. I thought that was an interesting point. It aligned with what I was seeing with my own observations, how his conversation with Megyn Kelly seemed suffused with fear on both their sides, but specifically Charlie Kirk. And so I posted that, but then when the shooting happened yesterday, it didn't even enter into my mind until I saw somebody post that again. Somebody had to remind me. I'd completely forgotten. I mean, we've been talking for the last week about leftist violence, Irina Zaruska being stabbed. And to be honest with you, Charlie is like the number one, was the number one Zionist influencer really in America. You know, person arguing for Israel. So, you know, to me, it's, you know, if they were to tell us it was a radical, you know, leftist Palestinian, pro-Palestinian person, I both can perfectly see how that would happen. I mean, these people are radical. We've seen multiple killings, you know, by these people. We've seen one of them, you know, lit themselves on fire. I mean, we got some extremists on that side, and they hate Charlie Kirk. They really hate Charlie Kirk, and we'll show you the evidence of that. But then it's also exactly what Israel would say if they wanted to do it. But like I said, it really didn't even enter in my mind. There's so much insanity from the left, and we'll show you responses from the left to the show. I mean, they're very happy Charlie Kirk is dead now because they're soulless freaks. But then as I started to think about it, people started to post videos showing Charlie Kirk doing a bit of a heel turn, dipping his toe in the anti-Israel water, and some of the other suspicious goings-on events around the shooting, the professionalism, 200 yards away, one shot, above the bulletproof vest, the type of, sort of the only shot that will kill you 100% of the times. Hit in the chest, it could hit a rib. Bullet glance, the skull is very hard. If you hit the headshot, it can glance off. You can survive a shot to the carotid artery. You cannot survive. And it's a favored tactic of the IDF, has been reported numerous times in the past. And then you've got the seemingly patsies that were there to distract the cops, two different people that were arrested and were acting like they were the ones that did it, but then weren't. And then you have people reporting that a private jet took off shortly after the assassination from a airport like 5 minutes away and then turned off its transponder. And people have linked that back to a shell company out of Israel. And so as I thought more about it and looked more into it, I think there's a reason that everybody is latching onto that tweet and retweeting it, because without that tweet, it doesn't really make any sense. Charlie Kirk is the number one Israel guy. Why would they kill their number one guy? That doesn't make any sense. But when it's framed as he's pro-Israel, but he's afraid if he goes against them, and then he starts to go against them, or he starts to go in that direction, and it seems to me like this, that possibility is not out of the question at all. And actually, there's a lot of evidence to it. So we'll get into that. But I don't think it was my tweet that inspired all the speculation. I mean, you hear about a high profile assassination anywhere in the world, there's a high chance that Israel's behind it. It is one of their favored tactics globally. And so we'll get into that, and I'll tell you the whole story, and I'm going to take your calls. I'll probably take your calls for like the whole show today, because again, I want this to be, well, a turning point, an inflection point. We cannot let Charlie's sacrifice go to waste. He put himself out there. He put himself in the line of fire. He was murdered despite not having any power, not having any, he wasn't a political, he wasn't a politician. He didn't have any, he didn't hold office. He wasn't a CEO denying people health care. He was a young man that went and talked to people on college campuses. And he was a young father. And they murdered him. So what are we going to do? Reach out and hold their hands? So now it's time to lecture the right on violent rhetoric. The entire time I've done this show, for the last 5 years, it's been the same pattern over and over and over. The left is violent. The left is radical. The left burns down churches and slams minivans into, you know, voter registration booths. They tried to kill every Senate Republican at a baseball game. They've shot Donald Trump. They tried to shoot him a second time. For 5 years that I've done the show, we have reported on instance after instance, especially when you bring in not the overtly and specifically political attacks, but all of the leftist anti-white violence. Irina Jaruzelska, I would throw into that category. The shooting at the Catholic Church last week, I'd put in that category. Over and over and over, we are bombarded with leftist violence. And then they go on TV and they say, both sides really need to calm down. You know, both sides really engage in this. We do not engage in this yet. I mean, maybe we don't engage in this. We never have. And yet it's always both sides. It's always both sides. Donald Trump and Cash Patel, by the end of the day today, I don't necessarily care about the assassin because I'm not going to believe whatever they say about the assassin. It doesn't matter. Unless they can show me that the sniper was wearing body cam footage and they can show me uncut, video of the whole thing. I'm just not going to believe it. And how different is this than something like the assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania? It could not be more different, right? And again, it makes me feel like, okay, the Butler, Pennsylvania thing was probably as legit as you get from an assassination. It was sloppy. It was messy. Everybody was running around. It was chaotic. They saw the sniper. People were yelling. They got the guy like the second after the shot happened. I mean, there's still a lot of suspicious stuff about that too. And I'm mad that we don't have more information about Thomas Crooks or that event that day. But think about that. The number of videos of the guy and the footage that we have of, him before the shooting and after the shooting. And then with Charlie Kirk, it's like all we have are faraway shots where you can barely see a head sort of bob above the wall of the roof for about 1 second after the shot happens. And then he just disappears. And they apparently have no information on the shooter of Charlie Kirk. The FBI is putting out requests saying, if you know anything, let us know. Apparently they don't have a description. They don't have an age. They don't have a race. They've got nothing on this guy. How does that even happen? That was as of a few minutes ago. There are some updates now. We'll go to the updates and we'll go to some videos of Charlie Kirk. Cause again, before we get into the hatred of the left, the response of the right, the details of the killing, the international connections. Before we get into any of that, I want to just go to some videos of Charlie Kirk himself. But we have an exclusive here from Steven Crowder. I believe this is what the video from Alex is on. This is from very short time ago. Clip 61 here. DHS is now reporting the cold-blooded killer of Charlie Kirk may appear to be a trans activist of some sort. Let's watch.
Steven Crowder is now exclusively reporting from ATF documents he got from the ATF confirmed that it was a trans shooter, they believe, because they found the rifle on the roof, right where we thought it came from, where everybody saw the person up there, left the rifle with all the trans carvings, just like the shooter up in Minneapolis a few weeks ago. And they've been calling for their days of rage. They have been building up. They're very suicidal. They believe it's everybody's fault. And they've got to go out and kill. And so that's who they're after right now on the manhunt. We actually believe we know who it is. There was an individual that said on internet posts and social media that something was going to happen that day who was trans. That's probably the main person. But there's going to be a lot more of this, folks. This is literally a zombie army of killers. And they're totally brainwashed. This is MK Ultra 2.0. Pray for Charlie Kirk and his family. Steven Crowder's been covering live on his show. I'm about to shoot a large report on this. Harrison Smith's about to go live at Infowars.com/show and write your own Relox Jones. All the details. I'll be in the office early. There's so much breaking news. Stay with us and follow me here on X Relox Jones. Thank you.
So that's the exclusive from Steven Crowder. This morning, my team received an email from an officer at ATF. The email included a screenshot of what appears to be an internal message describing a weapon and cartridges located by an ATF and other law enforcement near the scene of the Charlie Kirk shooting at Utah Valley State University. On September 10th, 2025, at approximately 12:24 p.m., conservative political influencer Charlie Kirk was shot and killed at the Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. Mr. Kirk was speaking at the university as part of the American Comeback Tour. Multiple Salt Lake City 1 in 3 agents responded immediately. The suspects fired one shot from an elevated position on a rooftop in an adjacent building on the campus, and surveillance video shows the suspect jumping off and fleeing the area on foot. ATF and other law enforcement located an older model imported Mauser .36 caliber bolt-action rifle wrapped in a towel in a wooded area near the campus. The location of the firearm appears to match the suspect's route of travel. The spent cartridge was still chambered in addition to 3 unspent rounds of the top-fed magazine. All cartridges have an engraved wording on them expressing transgender and anti-fascist ideology. An emergency trace has been submitted to an ATF Salt Lake City lab is working leads generated by the trace. The firearm and ammunition have been taken by the FBI for DNA analysis and fingerprint impressions. Upon completion of the forensics, the firearm will be disassembled for additional importer information. Multiple people of interest have contacted or detained because of eyewitness testimony and review of the video footage. The primary suspect is yet to be identified. ATF is assisting the investigation with multiple other federal, state, and local partners. In this case, is co-led by the FBI and the Utah SBI. And of course, that would match the sort of MO of the likes of Luigi Mangione writing messages on the bullets, mimicking that famous assassination earlier this year, or last year, I suppose. So that's interesting, but it is troubling to know that we have so little information here nearly 24 hours after the event. We'll show you the latest statements from the FBI and what they've said earlier. And it's not going to allay our suspicion. Let's just say that. Let's just say I'll show you what the FBI has said and what's been coming out of Washington, D.C. It's not exactly the most comforting or reassuring information, okay? Let's go now to clip number 34. This is a friend of the show making a very solid point, I think. Let's watch.
Today is day one. I know a lot of y'all are still processing what happened to Charlie Kirk, but I'm here to tell you that today is day one. If we now become scared of standing up and speaking out about what's right, then the evil forces celebrating right now have won. I am not willing to give them that victory, and I hope you aren't either. We've been trending towards this inflection point for a long time, towards this turning point, if you will. And what we do in the following days, weeks, months, and years will truly define the trajectory of this country in the future. If they are willing to do what they did to a father, a husband, who simply dared to ask questions and encourage people to prove him wrong, and if they took him out just because they knew they couldn't prove him wrong and could only use violence, then they are telling you they will do that to you as well. Especially if you now choose to be silent, to be afraid, to be scared of individuals who would do something like this simply because of a political difference of opinion. So today is day one, and what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And of course, I think the way you stop political assassinations is you make it abundantly clear that it backfires, that you are going to regret it. If you thought you got rid of Charlie Kirk, we're going to plaster Charlie Kirk's face on billboards. I'm going to make a stencil and go graffiti his face on walls. I'm going to start reposting his videos. And I think they should keep, you know, advertising on YouTube, just playing his clips over and over and over. If you thought you were getting rid of Charlie Kirk, You just made him immortal. And we are going to make absolutely sure that you regret this choice. Now, let's go to clip number 32. Here's Charlie Kirk himself.
That you face God, the judge, and he's going to list everything you did wrong in your life. For those of you that have not given your life to Christ, I could tell you it is the most freeing, liberating thing that a human being can possibly do. The most important thing that you can do.
So leave my sweater on the porch.
I was really moved when students came up to me. They said, Charlie, I'd never heard anyone in the history of this campus say that Jesus Christ was the King of the world. Not once in 4 years. And it moved me back to an earlier time when I was in church. And I just know I have to get my life right with Christ. And I was just reminded that this is a good kind of lesson that I learned this last week for all of you, that you need to say that every single day to somebody. There is a God who loves you and that created you.
For me as I move into adulthood in order to become a more informed and involved citizen.
Well, first of all, thank you for being here, and I have hope thanks to people like you. How old are you again?
13.
Here's a couple things I want to encourage you to do. Learn something new every single day and focus on what it means to be a good person and a person of strong character. Aristotle said that courage is the ultimate virtue. Without it, there are no other virtues. If people aren't courageous, you don't have honesty. You don't have justice. You don't have beauty. You don't have wonder. And so at age 13, I want you to commit yourself to a life of courage. Courage is doing the right thing when you don't know how it's going to work out. Courage is committing yourself to the correct course of action, regardless of the cost associated to it.
Every human being, I believe, is made in the image of the divine, is sacred, is unique, and if we get away from this principle as we have, we not only have moral degradation, we not only have the collapsing society around us, but it's bad for that being itself. That being itself is unique. That being has rights, and who are we to say, just because we're older, that we get to murder it? Thank you.
Political radicalism needs a catalyst. Political radicalism does not come out of peace, prosperity, rising wages, stable families, church attendance, and happy people. Happy people, grateful people, do not get behind Vladimir Lenin, and they certainly don't get behind Chavez or Castro.
That's right.
People that own nothing, that feel like their property is diminishing, they don't have property, or their dollar is diminishing in value, they start to look for alternatives. And so the political project in front of us as conservatives should be, how do we actually de-radicalize the country in the next couple of years? That's my obsession. And that's why I say I try not to think about all this other stuff, because it just, you know, it's such brain space. My number one obsession is I know what is coming next.
Now, of course, as posted by Alex, this is why they shot Charlie Kirk. Again, we don't even have any information about who the shooter is. I don't know if we'll trust any information as we get it. I'll bring you what we have in the latest on the other side. I'm going to open up for phone calls as well and have you call in and speak your mind about where we go from here. Whole new era. We'll be right back.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. The first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up a pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it, yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed, it's not caffeine, it's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psychological. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith.
My son was sleeping in our bed this morning, so I got dressed in the dark. I didn't want to turn the light on to wake him up. I meant to put on a black blazer with a black tie. I want this to be, well, I'm in mourning for Charlie Kirk, obviously. I don't know whether to be more sad or angry or fired up, more terrified at what the future landscape of American politics looks like, or just ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just, you know, beg for the government to come in and stomp on some necks. Because obviously, this is not an isolated incident. It wasn't unexpected or random or unencouraged by the media. And I guess, I don't know, I'm struggling to even know where to begin with this, because it's all so it's also insane. We've got, like, a lot of the people on the left seem genuinely remorseful for what happened. I got videos of Cenk Uygur and, you know, H3H3 and, you know, Dean Withers. And they're, like, openly weeping about this, and it seems very sincere. And then you've got other leftists who are sort of doing the paint by numbers. Well, we've really got to lower the rhetoric here. And, you know, I think we can all take a step back. Sort of, you know, just a boilerplate statement of remorse. And then you've got the people who aren't public figures that are dancing around and celebrating and laughing about this. And I wonder if the left, if the leftist leaders know what they've created, if they realize how radical their followers are, how heartless and soulless and vicious their side of the aisle is. Some people are realizing. And this may be the greatest outcome of all of this. Is this, as much as it has become a opportunity for unification on the right, where people who, if you mentioned Charlie Kirk a day before yesterday, they would have been, you know, spewing the most vile, you know, hatred for him. Including me to a certain point. I mean, I never spewed vile hatred for him. I try to, you know, remain respectful of everybody on the right, but I certainly had my criticisms of him. But I've always been massively impressed with what he's been able to accomplish and incredibly grateful for the positive influence he's had, especially on the youth in America. And of course, I've been impressed by this forever. I mean, you know, when he first started TPUSA and I started seeing it on, you know, the water bottle that my little cousin had that he'd, you know, take to university, and it was like, oh man, a conservative group that you could put their, your bumper sticker on their water bottle and you're not going to get beat up. It made conservatism cool and popular, and it encouraged conservatives on college campuses not to, lie about what they believed. But even people on the right that despise Charlie Kirk have come together to celebrate, if nothing else, his personal decency, if not his political beliefs. And it's been a real unifying moment on the right, which is sad but wonderful. And then on the left, this has become, I think, a dividing line. I think it should. I think the Democrats need to really think hard about whether or not they want to be a part of the party that celebrates and dances around and laughs when a father of two young daughters or two young children is murdered in cold blood in front of everybody. Is that the type of people you want to be associated with? Because that is who you're associated. That is your side. Make no mistake. Some people are realizing this. We'll go to some of these videos now. And I hope they can just go all the way. I hope they can really come to terms with the fact that this is their side. A lot of people going, I didn't think my side was like this. Well, they are. They absolutely are. So it's up to you now to decide whether you want to continue to associate with heartless monsters or whether you can understand that that heartlessness, that soullessness, that vicious hatred that's bubbling just under the surface is not an option, you know, an optional add-on for democracy. That is at the heart of all of it. That is what informs all of the positions you guys take. So you can't just say, well, we reject, you know, the hatred that killed Charlie Kirk, but we are still, you know, radically to trans activists, and you know, we still think that you're a Nazi. And there are politicians literally saying that today. They are not tamping down because I have an article here that we'll get into that puts it very simply and provides all of the evidence for it. The left has never been held accountable for political violence, and that must change. And we mean never. We mean that the violent radicals in the 60s that were bombing the Capitol, the Weather Underground, committing terrorist attacks, instead of being, I don't know, hung in the town square or put to work breaking stones for the rest of their lives in shackles, they were all released and pardoned and allowed to go become academics and advise Obama and are now working, heading NGOs, doing what they were doing with bombs in the 60s. Now they're doing with demographics in the modern day. This isn't a new problem. It's just time for new solutions. It's time for new action against this. It's time to stop acting like we can ignore this, or it's a both sides problem, or like genuinely holding conservative positions is somehow just by nature of their conservativeness makes you, you know, a valid target for assassination. We need to reframe this conversation in a serious way. And yet again, like I'm on my knees begging Donald Trump and his administration to use this. Charlie Kirk himself, one of his last tweets was about Irina Jaruzelska and saying we have to politicize this attack. We have to get political solutions to the problems that we're facing. This cannot be something that's swept under the rug or should, oh, it's just a one person with a mental illness. Gosh. There are so many things that Trump could do to make an example out of this. I think pulling MSNBC's FCC license would be a great idea. I mean, within minutes of Charlie Kirk dying yesterday, they were justifying the murder. Punish them for that. Because again, and this I guess is my sort of the turning point. The turning point I'm at right now is coming to the realization and truly accepting that like the American people are so degraded, so far gone in terms of being capable of upholding the civilization that we've inherited. It's got to be the government doing so. It's got to be the government stepping in. Because again, you would expect like any normal group of people, if they were to hear somebody even like subtly justifying a murder of an innocent guy who never hurt anybody, was a father of two and a husband, a 31-year-old man who did nothing but have conversations with anybody. He would just go up there and just accept anybody coming up to talk to him. And they killed him over that. And then they go on MSNBC and they justify it. And you would expect a crowd of people listening to that would be outraged and horrified and want nothing to do with the person saying that. The problem is a lot of Americans have been radicalized. A lot of Americans aren't just celebrating this privately, feeling a little guilty, but also a little happy this happened. No, they're out there making TikToks with their faces and their real names, dancing around saying who's next. So, I mean, what are you supposed to do in that situation? If our government is ruled by the people, what happens when the people themselves have all been driven insane by a media landscape designed to psychologically terrorize them and radicalize them? All right, we gotta just go to these videos because there's so many. Let's go to clip number 60 first. This is one leftist coming to the realization of just how evil his side really is. Let's watch.
As a registered Democrat, all I have to say is the Charlie Kirk shooting just proves that we are the worst, man. My party is the fucking worst. I got people celebrating, hoping that he dies. Are we fucking for real right now? Where's the empathy? Where's the respect, man? It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Truly. And the fact of the matter is this, he was a father, and whether or not I agree with his political opinions, all he truly wanted to do at the core was see this country be the best. And I can fucking respect that. And to see people just be blatantly disgusting, man, we're the worst, man. We're horrible.
So why are you saying we? This is what I don't get. Why are you saying we? We are horrible. You're not horrible. You're not like that. Why are you with the people that are? Why are you on the side of the hateful psycho freaks if you can recognize that that's what they are? Why are you saying we? How are you not taking this opportunity to finish that thought process out? Gee, I'm on the side that's celebrating the murder of a good man? Maybe I shouldn't be on this side anymore. Maybe there's something about the spirit of my side that informs everything that we believe. Maybe it's all evil. Maybe it all stems from that same source of hatred and vitriol. Maybe this isn't an odd thing. Maybe nobody on the right wing expected anything else from the Democrats. No, we're not surprised. We're not shocked. We're horrified, but we're constantly horrified by you people. So it's nothing new. Let this be a wake up moment for Democrats, waking up to the reality of who you people are and how you don't have to be that. You can change your mind. You can come to the right side. You can join us in the light. You don't have to be in the swamp with the monsters. You're not a monster. So why are you with the monsters? If you're a human being, come to the human side. The Charlie Kirk side. Take this thought process to its logical conclusion. Your side is evil. Leave it. Some people are realizing this. Clip number 46 here. Another Democrat shocked and horrified at the heartlessness of her own side.
I, not 10 minutes ago, found out some information about the shooting of Charlie Kirk at an event out in Utah. I'm not here to talk about the shooter's political affiliation. What I am here to talk about is the absolute disgusting, foul, vile things that the left is posting and saying online right now, when we don't even know the status of the man. Like, we don't even know if Charlie Kirk is alive, if he's clinging to life. We don't know the status of him. And the left has the audacity to get on these phones, on these screens, and cheer or do a trending fun little song to the fact that this happened. I'm talking, it hasn't even been out, I can't even say hours yet. And the left is so evil and demonic. I don't care who you vote for, but if you support the things and the narratives that these Democrats are bestowing upon y'all's party, because this isn't what the Democratic Party used to be. I don't care. This isn't what it used to be. And this is what it's become. And if you stand by that, there's no room for you at my table.
Yeah, good for you. Break with the left. These people are like this. I mean, again, you saw the celebration of Luigi Mangione. And you know, I talk to some people that are on the dissident side. I wouldn't even call them right-wingers, but they were like mad that Trump associated Luigi Mangione with Charlie Kirk. In his talk, he lists out some of the political violence that's taken place, some of the outrageous open-air assassinations that have gone on in this country by the left, and he mentions Luigi Mangione. People are like mad at that, and they're like, wow, this is totally different, because they're fans of Luigi Mangione. Well, why do you think we immediately, the day that it happened, were out here saying, F Luigi Mangione, coward scumbag, murdering a father? Because there are people on the right that were like, well, but, you know, it was a, you know, maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need. And it's like, what type of country do you want to live in? And how do you not understand second-order effects? You think this is going to work? You think this is going to make things better? You absolute morons. Of course it was Luigi Mangione and the celebration of him and the glorifying of him and making him a sex symbol. I should grab the Nick Fuentes video about this because he put it very well. But it's just exactly what I'm saying. That they celebrated him and they made a sex symbol out of him and they told everybody, all of their radical little mindless scumbag loser followers, hey, all you have to do is kill an innocent person. All you have to do is murder an innocent, defenseless father. And you'll be celebrated. People will paint murals of you. You know, I mean, your life's not going anywhere anyway. So, you know, you want to be a hero? You want to be celebrated? You want women to send you nude photographs of them in prison? Just kill somebody. Just kill a Republican and we'll celebrate it. Obviously, this had an influence, especially if what we're hearing about the rifle and the bullets is true. Literally a mimic, a copycat attack. In the exact same way Luigi Mangione had the messages carved on the bullets, that reportedly is exactly what has been discovered at the scene of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. The left has to be held responsible for this as a whole, as a party, as a side. And I'm glad to see some leftist talking heads seem to be appropriately shocked and horrified at what their rhetoric has led to. But not for a single second am I forgiving them for it, expecting them to, you know, temper their message from then on. These people are insane and they know exactly what they're doing, and they've been radicalizing their followers to violence for years. They're going to act like this wasn't the inevitable consequence. I really hope that they're doing some soul searching today. Let's go to Dean Withers now. Dean Withers is, of course, one of these leftist twinks that the Kamala campaign made famous. And he had probably one of the most visceral reactions. I have so many videos that I can't even clip 23 here. This is Dean Withers maybe finally coming to truly understand what side he's thrown his lot in with. Let's watch.
His wife and children were in attendance, dude. Imagine, you know, imagine being a 12-year-old, you know, watching your dad fucking die. Nobody deserves that. Not even Charlie Kirk.
Well, that's interesting because earlier this year, Dean was actually running a tour called the UnF America Tour, specifically designed to mock and deride Charlie Kirk. And here's what they said for their little tour. They say, Turning Point USA is the far-right organization founded and led by ultra-MAGA extremist Charlie Kirk that brainwashes young people, predominantly young white men, you know, the evilest type of person, into an alt-right red pill pipeline. Turning Point USA pushes disinformation, attacks public education, and fuels culture wars to divide, distract, and destroy. Their real mission? To build an army of alt-right robot voters while training the next generation of right-wing operatives and silence anyone who fights for progress. Progress and humanity, because they're targeting our communities, our campus, and our future. Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk are building a youth-powered authoritarian movement, and they're doing it completely unchallenged and out in the open. Yeah, you know, because they're honest and upfront about what they do. This is shocking and horrifying to the left. Like, they're doing it right out in front of everybody. What, talking about the Constitution? Absolute freaks. That's why we're showing up. We're not just responding to their presence. We're organizing to outnumber, out-strategize, and outlast each and every one of them. The UnF America Tour. Specifically and explicitly designed to take on Charlie Kirk, who's creating a robot army of Nazis and must be stopped at any cost. Oh, but how could anyone do this to him? Are you getting it yet? Are you understanding what you are doing now, what you're a part of? You think his behavior is going to change? You think his coverage is going to change? Or you think he's going to reset like a goldfish and keep doing exactly what he's been doing because he's paid to? Destiny, I want to hear a single large political influencer on the right say we need to bring down the rhetoric temperature in this country on all sides before anybody on the left does this cucked, we disavow, violence is bad, BS. This is the world that Trump is building. Stop blindly closing your eyes to and pretending it's not happening. Again, just total project. I don't want to hear this both sides. It's not us. It's never been us. It's always you. It's entirely, the violence is entirely on the left. Entirely. 100%. I think I have an example here. Let's go to 57. This is a content creator named Destiny calling for violence. Let's watch.
conservatives have been disgusting for years, which is why I don't give a fuck about anybody that winds up at any of these rallies and gets shot or whatever the fuck, okay, because they had no problem making fun of Paul Pelosi. The entire world would be better off if these people were permanently removed from these platforms. Like, there is no downside and only upside to see people like Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Tim Pool never be allowed to publicly broadcast their opinions ever again. It's exclusively bad stuff that happens.
Is it both? It's not both sides, and these people need to be held account for it, preferably by the authorities. Again, we're not asking because we have to. We're asking because we see where this goes if the lawful authorities don't take it in hand. Jeremy Kaufman, Political Violence's Reprehensible Starter Pack. Gavin Newsom mocking the assassination with an AI-generated cartoon of Gavin Newsom holding a ketchup bottle. You got the, you know, kids with the MAGA hats go head first into the wood chipper. Kathy Griffin holding the bloodied, decapitated head of Donald Trump. And, of course, the Black Lives Matter riots burning entire cities to the ground. But, guys, both sides need to really calm down, okay? I mean, when you say that crime is out of control and we say that means you hate black people and are therefore a Nazi and deserve to die, I mean, that's just responsible political rhetoric, okay? Nicholas Decker, I think it should be obvious that shooting Charlie Kirk is extremely done. Blair White responds, this you faggot? When must we kill them all? Evil has come to America. Nicholas Drecker, April 2025. We should kill them all. Oh, guys, killing them is nice. Oh, geez, guys. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about all that stuff I just told you to do. And it goes on and on. Again, there are some human beings with souls on the left. We can go to clip number 50, Cenk Uygur. Say what you want, but, you know, certain people on the left, like Cenk, as wrong as I think he is about a lot of stuff, we've seen recently his ability to change his mind when presented with alternative facts. And here he is with, I think, a very heartfelt message about Charlie Kirk. Let's watch.
Charlie Kirk was shot in Utah, giving a speech there. I just found out he's passed away. I can't believe he's dead. He was shot in the neck. Some of you might have seen an elderly man being dragged away. It turns out it was not him. Authorities don't know who did it. Violence is not the answer. This is a horrific tragedy. And we're all in danger now. This is a terrible, terrible thing to do. Violence is intellectual surrender. It's giving up and saying, I'm a loser. I don't know how to win in a battle of ideas. I'm going to resort to violence like an animal. It is the very last thing anyone who's progressive or on the left would ever do. We are for nonviolence. Yeah. We are for peace. We are for
You keep saying that you are, but then you keep killing people. So your words and your actions are misaligned. Time to drop that.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, the West Awakens with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowshowstore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, it's like being Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time. Get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our ultimate life force blood detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. Second hour is on. Donald Trump is currently giving an address at a memorial for 9/11 where he announced that he will be awarding Charlie Kirk the Medal of Freedom posthumously. Here's Donald Trump live.
Before we begin, let me express the horror and grief so many Americans at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk have felt. Charlie was a giant of his generation, a champion of liberty, and an inspiration to millions and millions of people. Our prayers are with his wonderful wife, Eric, and his beautiful children. Fantastic people they are. We miss him greatly, yet I have no doubt that Charlie's voice and the courage he put into the hearts of countless people, especially young people, will live on. I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The date of the ceremony will be announced, and I can only guarantee you one thing, that we will have a very big crowd, very, very big. Thank you, my fellow Americans. 84 years ago this morning, the banks of the Potomac were filled with the clamor of construction workers who broke ground on the building now known as the Pentagon on September 11th, 1941. At the time, it was the biggest building ever built. From that moment forward, this structure stood as a monument to American strength, power, and cherished American freedom. Exactly six decades later, on September 11th, 2001, those same walls built with the sweat and muscle, blood of our parents and grandparents were scarred by flame and shaken by terror as our country came face to face with pure evil. On that fateful day, savage monsters attacked the very symbols of our civilization. Yet here in Virginia, and in New York, and in the skies over Pennsylvania, Americans did not hesitate. They stood on their feet, and they showed the world that we will never yield, we will never bend, we will never give up, and our great American flag will never, ever fail. That terrible morning 24 years ago, time itself stood still. The laughter of school children fell silent. The rush of our traffic came to an absolute halt. And for 2,977 innocent souls and their families, the entire world came crashing down so suddenly. In the quarter of a century since those acts of mass murder, 9/11 family members have felt the weight of missed birthdays and empty bedrooms, journals left unfinished and dreams left unfulfilled. To every member that still feels a void every day of your lives, the First Lady and I unite with you in sorrow. And today, as one nation, we renew our sacred vow that we will never forget September 11th, 2001. Amid the horror of that morning, some used cell phones and office lines whispered their final words to those who mattered most. They whispered indeed. At 8:59 a.m. aboard United Flight 175, Brian Sweeney called his wife, Julie. He told her, "Do good. Go have good times. I totally love you. I'll see you again. I'll meet you up there." 4 minutes later, his plane hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center. At 9:12 a.m. aboard American Airlines Flight 77, Renee May called her mom. Just the day before, Renee had learned that
she
was
7 weeks
pregnant.
All right, folks, that's at the 9/11 Memorial 24 years ago today. Around this time, our world was changing forever.
feel like it's changing forever again. We have updates to the Charlie Kirk assassination, the hunt for the assassin. We'll bring you down the other side. Stay with us, folks.
The ancient blue wizard is who I be. The magic of Methilene flows through me. His wars of info have gone through the ages to keep your minds locked in cages. Break free from the lies and save your soul, or the demonic agenda shall reach its goal. Upon this field, with steel in hand, I guard the truth across the land. No tyrant's crown, no foreign laws shall pierce the shield of InfoWars. This dagger's point, both sharp and true, defends the rights for me and you. So grab your phone without delay and go to the website if you may. Order your dagger to stand in the fight before the globalists turn out the lights.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. We have some breaking updates from the FBI. The FBI has tracked the movements of the assassin, apparently, and have provided some updates. Here's a report from the FBI minutes ago.
Breakthroughs. We were able to track the movements of the shooter. Starting at 11:52 a.m., the subject arrived on campus, shortly away from campus. We have tracked his movements onto the campus, through the stairwells, up to the roof, across the roof to a shooting location. After the shooting, we were able to track his movements as he moved to the other side of the building, jumped off of the building, and fled off of the campus and into a neighborhood. Our investigators have worked through those neighborhoods, contacting anybody they can with doorbell cameras, witnesses, and have thoroughly worked through those communities, trying to identify any leads. We do have good video footage of this individual. We are not going to release that at this time. We are working through some technologies and some ways to identify this individual. If we are unsuccessful, we will reach out to you as the media and we will push that publicly to help us identify them. But we are confident in our abilities right now and we would like to move forward in a manner that keeps everyone safe and moves this process appropriately.
All right, I don't know if I understand that. I don't think I quite get that. So they have video footage of the assassin, but they're not releasing it because they think they know who he is. But we don't know who he is. If you want to find him, why would you not release his image? And that doesn't make any sense. Again, I don't know how we're going to trust anything that we hear out of the government. I mean, that really is how far gone we are at this point. But that's the latest from the FBI. Apparently they have footage of the guy and are tracking him down and have, you know, been able to follow him to and from the shooting location. Now, there's very little footage of the shooter at the time of the shooting, but some did catch him on camera. Clip number 36. This appears to show the shooter on the roof of the building across the way. Clip number 36.
Right up.
Yeah.
So there he's
already being placed.
Zooms in. You would think and
that. So there's somebody on the roof right there?
This was before the shooting, sure. Obviously.
He just ran from over, where's my finger? Well, from over there, ran in. And now he's right there. Just saying, just
fucking right up.
Yeah. You think he'd already be in place?
So that's apparently him after the shooting, I guess. Again, a lot of strangeness with all this. Clip number 2, Charlie Kirk's assassin can allegedly be seen on the roof running away. This is, you know, wide shot. The bullet's just gone off. Everybody's ducking and hiding. and you can see right there the guy moving across the roof. So everybody that I've talked to with knowledge of these types of situations has said this was absolutely professional. Absolutely professional. For a couple reasons. The shot was so well placed, especially if, and I believe Charlie Kirk was wearing body armor. I don't know if that's true, but I would think that he would probably wear body armor in situations like that. They didn't hit him in the chest. They hit him in the neck, the carotid artery. More likely to cause death even than a headshot. It was one shot, right? An amateur might take multiple shots. Not sure if they got it or not. Whoever this was, sighted in a rifle at 200 yards from an elevated position, fired one shot that killed his target, and then immediately left and was not detained, was not even really spotted. That is professional. That seems professional. And again, people who I've talked to and people who I've seen videos of agree with me. I'll go to one of those in just a second. Clip number four, I think this is that same video we saw earlier, but again, another view of the guy on the roof. Then they arrested a guy, and this might be the most suspicious part about all of it. Clip number 17, this is the suspect who was arrested, the old man with the big glasses that apparently was acting like a patsy. And let's bring the audio up on this because you can hear him talk.
That's right, remain silent.
So you're saying I have the right to remain silent. Okay, but if you're not the shooter, why would you not say that? This guy was acting like the shooter. That's the weirdest part about this. Now, we don't know, you know, too much about this guy.
He took everybody's eyes off the roof.
Was arrested and allowed them to say they have a suspect in custody, only to later be released, but it was reported, you know, that he was the suspect and that they got him. And it was one of those things that as soon as you see the guy, my first thought was like, that's not the guy. He doesn't look like a shooter. Something about it just didn't seem right. Clip 44, this is him being led away. And again, listen to him. The way he's talking, it's like, put yourself in this situation that you're at a Charlie Kirk event as an old Jewish guy in Utah. That's what you're doing in your afternoon on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it was. You're at a Charlie Kirk event. A gunshot goes off. Charlie Kirk gets shot. Apparently, this guy was near the shooter. Somehow, they mistake you for the shooter and arrest you. Like, what would your response be? My response would probably be something like, "The hell are you doing? There's the shooter over there. He went that way. Or it wasn't me. I don't even have a gun. What the hell are you talking about?" There's lots of different reactions one might have in that situation. What type of reaction is this? Clip 44.
Shoot me! Shoot me!
He's yelling, "Shoot me! Shoot me!" The cop says, "We're not sure if this is him or not," as they carry him away, or they drag him away, sort of. And what type of reaction is that? Shoot me! Shoot me! So the guy's acting suspicious. He's saying, "I have a right to remain silent." Is this the behavior of a guy who just witnessed a shooting, a random bystander that witnessed a shooting? I have a right to remain silent. Shoot me, shoot me. What? Very, very, very suspicious of this guy, to be honest with you. And not that he's the shooter, but that he knew about the shooting and was there to provide a distraction to allow the shooter to get away. Speculation, but what else was he doing? Who is this guy and why was he acting so suspicious? Why did they think he was the shooter? We don't really have any information about that. Let's go to clip number 51 now. Here's an expert saying that this type of assassination, it's professional. Let's watch.
America, we have a problem. We have a problem because we have a corrupt government that will mislead you any chance that they can get. Anyone that they put in front of you at this point in state is the assassin of Mr. Kirk. Is just placed in front of you to get you into your feelings, to water down the narrative, to pull you from the truth. That was a professional hit. That shot was taken by a professional. Now, they might drag some 60-year-old guy out and say, oh, he's a lefty, or this individual is a transsexual. That shot was taken by a professional. Now, I believe they took him out because he was getting too close and too big.
This is no longer just speculation. First of all, the evidence that shows that Epstein was a creation of either Mossad, Israeli intelligence, American intelligence, Saudi intelligence, or maybe he was just a hired gun. Maybe he was just a guy that countries would go to and park a couple hundred million bucks and say, hey, can you get one of the members of the royal family with a 13-year-old so we can get them to do what we want to do? Members of Congress are actively being blackmailed. The Epstein playbook is being used on a daily basis. Jeffrey Epstein was not a financier. He was not a hedge fund manager. Jeffrey Epstein was a key player in a multi-decade blackmail operation against the most powerful people on the planet.
All right, so that guy again, leaning into the Israel did it idea, and we'll get more into that later, but again, I just want to show some of the clips from that day, witnesses on the ground saying, yeah, the guy they arrested was not the shooter. I don't even know why they'd say that he was. Clip 55, witnesses to the shooting knew immediately that the old bald guy was not the shooter. Let's watch.
I think whoever did it was a good shooter, a sharp shooter. It was one shot right directly to the heart, and we need to find out who did this. I think there should be a research completely done that took place hours, maybe a day, before anything went on. Who could be there and pull that trigger and do it? And I don't think it was George Zimm. He was poor, broke. He maybe was on medication, a little bit loony boon, maybe a perfect person to pick and say that did it, but I don't think he did it at all.
So at this point, but did you see him taken into custody? Did you see him with any kind of thing in his hand, any device in his hand or anything like that?
Yeah, I saw when they actually put the handcuffs behind his back. Okay. I followed them.
All right,
when
we're
going to
go to Jason
Chaffetz.
Obviously there's going to be...
And then they pull him out of that interview. Let's go to 37 now. There's another man interviewed by CBS saying that multiple people were involved. Let's watch.
Piecing things together. And it was really weird because the second guest that I talked to before I went and asked him the question, what I was going to ask him, he was talking to him about how he was going to ask about transgenderism or something like that, but nothing about shootings. And this is the irony that came to me, which was like right when he asked that, not like 5-10 seconds later, he was shot. And not only that, right after that, someone confessed to it who had no weapon, which makes me think that it was clearly a setup and that multiple people were involved. So, but prior to that, that's all I saw because everyone was squirming.
Did you see anybody fire a shot?
I didn't see anyone fire a shot. I think it had to come from an elevated position for sure. And I think it had to have been a long rifle based off of how, so Charlie was like 10 yards in front of me from where my microphone was. So even if you have a pistol, if someone was talking about a pistol and all this stuff.
So again, people there are saying it was multiple shooters. Again, just the lack of information that we have, the lack of footage that we have of the shooter. I've shown you everything that we have from the shooter. I'm pretty sure. I don't think there's any other videos that show the shooter. I think we have that one shot from the reverse where you can see him kind of running, and then you have the other shot of the guy standing there narrating it. And so that's all. And all you see in both those cases, bare minimum black profile. No more information, no more. And apparently the FBI has his identity, has his face, doesn't have his identity, but is working on identifying it, but is not releasing his picture. So even though the assassin is out there somewhere, we don't know what he looks like. So how are we supposed to help find him? It just makes no sense. Let's go to clip number 27. Now, this is Clay Travis with a very blunt message about Charlie Kirk's murder. Let's watch.
Say, like Barack Obama did, like Hillary Clinton did, oh, we condemn this violence. Guess what? You can't call the president of the United States for 10 years Adolf Hitler. And you can't say that he's a fascist dictator. And you can't say that anyone who voted for Trump or advocated for him, like you, me, Riley, and Charlie Kirk, are Nazis. And then when someone tries to kill us, You can't suddenly say, oh, we condemn this violence. You caused it. Look at me right now. You caused this. When you tell people that someone is Hitler, you are telling crazy people, go kill them. And I am sick of pretending that that is anything other than what they're doing. That guy in West Palm Beach, what did he say? He was killing Trump because he believed Trump was Hitler. This is what they do, all right? This left-wing violence, it's out of control. And Charlie Kirk bore the brunt of that left-wing violence. And guess what? But for the twist of his head at the last minute, Donald Trump's head would have been blown off on live television. And that is intentional. They are lighting fires and then claiming, oh, what do you know? There's a fire there. They're doing it on purpose. MSNBC, Sean, you watch this. They were live on the air saying, one of their guys said, they put out a PR statement. He said, well, Charlie Kirk was riddled basically with hate. And when you put hate out into the world, this kind of thing happens. Oh, tough break. You get shot and killed even though you're completely innocent and all you're doing is making arguments for the betterment of the country. Tough break for your young daughter. Tough break for your son, for your lovely wife that will never get the opportunity to see you grow old with them. I am so angry. And I understand everybody out there says, well, we have to tamp down the anger. I'm not willing to do that right now because I get angrier the more I think about this, Sean. They put the wheels of motion for this in order. They did it, Sean.
I completely agree with him. And, you know, I agree with this post as well from Will Tanner at Will_Tanner_1. In the cowardice-filled responses of Republican politicians to the heinous political assassination of Charlie Kirk, the organizational backbone of their party, you can see how things went this far. They should be baying for blood and pressing Trump to unleash everything possible on the left, from its foot soldiers to its funders, from the Antifa goons to Soros. Instead, they're prattling about forgiveness and overcoming hate on cable TV. Despicable cowards, the lot of them. Here's hoping that the administration is made of sterner stuff than these cowards and fools. And he posts Josh Hawley saying, we have to overcome the hate that's poisoning our country. Yeah, by destroying it. By destroying it. Giving in to hate is not an act of love. And then he has the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. At this pivotal moment in our nation's history, we must appeal to our better angels. America is still a grand experiment in self-governance for and by the people. Charlie modeled that truth, debated passionately, but never hate the person across from you. I don't have to hate them to want them to be in handcuffs and thrown into prison so they can't kill me. Yeah, I don't hate the radicals. I do want them gone out of, you know, public society. This is not the appropriate response. You know, I know this isn't the appropriate response. Because I'm watching the left today, and they might make noises about, well, but we need to really tamp down the rhetoric. What they mean by that is, well, if you just shut up, we won't have to kill you. That's what they mean, by the way. When the Democrats say, you know, we need to tamp down this rhetoric, it's the ones who are saying it explicitly. It's the ones like the character on MSNBC, clip number 7, Matthew Dowd, saying, well, you know, you spread this type of hate, what do you expect to happen? That's what the Democrats mean when they say we need to, you know, stop this hate. What they mean is the Republicans better stop expressing themselves or we're going to keep killing them. This is like it is ubiquitous. It is the constant when it comes to the Republicans. They live in a illusionary world of the 1950s, or something like what happened to Charlie Kirk is just a crazy person doing violence, and it's just, it's bad and everybody hates it. No, the other side is celebrating, the other side is laughing, the other side is encouraging this. The other side's congressman interrupted a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk because they hate him so much. Never hurt anybody, never killed anybody. Never even was accused of anything bad. Now, this guy's apparently been fired, but let's go to the comments. Clip number 7. This was immediately after Charlie Kirk was announced dead. Here's what they were saying on MSNBC.
Yeah, and again, I emphasize what you just emphasized. We don't know any of the full details of this. We don't know if this was a supporter shooting their gun off in celebration, or so we have no idea about this. But following up on what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions. And I think that's the environment we're in, that people just, you can't stop with these sort of awful thoughts you have and then saying these awful words and not expect awful actions to take place.
Matt.
And that's the unfortunate environment we're in.
It's like shockingly self-unaware, right? Your side is the side that just killed somebody. I mean, imagine this. He's like, you know, Charlie Kirk is a hateful idiot. Okay, that's the hateful thought that you have now coming out as hateful words, that then it became hateful actions when one of your supporters murdered Charlie Kirk. And now you're saying that as if it's a lesson to Charlie Kirk? As if by him saying we shouldn't abort babies, or we shouldn't let trans, you know, men in women's clothing into your daughter's locker room? So he's exactly right. The hatred they spew towards Charlie Kirk, the hatred that they hold in their hearts that comes out every time they talk, that then turns into action when their mentally ill sycophants believes what they say, you get murder. Again, that guy's been fired, but why'd he say it? Why do they keep saying this stuff? You know, we just heard from the guy saying, you know, this is what happens when you just keep calling us Nazis. Like, what do you expect? That's what you're doing when you call us Nazis. And this morning, a night after Charlie Kirk was murdered, Elizabeth Warren is out there going, no, we're going to keep the rhetoric just as high as ever. Let's go to clip number 42 now.
Oh, please. Right. Why don't you start with the President of the United States? Right. And every ugly meme he has posted and every ugly word.
Yeah, well, what? Just because we're constantly calling Charlie Kirk a Nazi and extremist and a threat to the future and he has to be eliminated. That's not the rhetoric that gets people killed. It's Trump calling me Pocahontas. So, to the Mike Johnsons and the Josh Hawleys and the Ted Cruzes and all of these other milquetoast, coward, doughy faggots in the American Congress, supposed to be representing us. The other side are vicious psychos that have absolutely no internal limiting factor to their behavior. You are sitting there acting like you expect them to have a conscience, to develop a soul all of the sudden. These people are soulless. You are debating rabid dogs. Now is not the time to sing Kumbaya and light a candle. You know what happens if you sing Kumbaya and light a candle? The leftists attack your vigil. You want to see video of that? Clip number 22. Extended footage of a fight at an Idaho vigil for Charlie Kirk. Let's watch. Here you go.
This guy's gonna get fucked.
This is the right wing, the Republican Party, trying to mourn the victim of a political assassination, and the left shows up yelling F Charlie Kirk and disrupting the whole thing. Now is not the time to temper hate on both sides. Now is the time to recognize that one side is filled of psychotic morons and have to be crushed politically before a lot more killing has to be done. Put your foot down for the love of God.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on. But we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on, because 80% of the funding goes into legal, because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theallishowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. Of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue, well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best Irish sea moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount up of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum selling out. The capsules from Methylene Blue selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, you think our information's powerful? You want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. Didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheAllishowStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of methyl drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles he would
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. I'm going to take your calls for the second half of today's program. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Still a lot of videos to show you, a lot of developments to cover in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And we'll get into the Israel aspect to this. I guess I'll just get into that right now. Because, like I said, a month ago, so here's the whole story. About a month ago, I saw an interview with Megyn Kelly and Charlie Kirk, and I thought Charlie Kirk sounds scared. I thought he sounded like he was expressing that he was scared to talk badly about Israel. And so I made a video where I explained that and I said that and I encouraged Charlie Kirk to break free of his restrictions and just tell the truth. And so I posted that video, and a few days later, I was talking to somebody. And the way I remember it, it could have gone a different way, but the way I remember it is we were talking about sort of Israel and Zionism and, you know, some of these guys like Charlie Kirk, and we're mentioning him. And my friend says to me, well, you know, I know somebody close to Charlie Kirk, and they say Charlie is terrified to go against Israel. They think Israel is going to kill him. And I went, whoa, that's crazy. Did you see the video I just made? I just made a video saying I think Charlie Kirk sounds scared. And he goes, no, I didn't see that. And that's how I remember it, because I remember then I was like, you know, I was just talking about him being scared of losing sponsors, losing donors. I thought he was afraid that if he stopped being pro-Zionist, then the Zionist money would dry up. That's what I was saying I thought he was afraid of. So it was kind of shocking to me. The guy's like, no, he's afraid they're going to kill him. And so I posted that. And so, but, you know, then we talked about others. So I didn't get any more details about it. I don't have any, I'm not going to say names because the person asked me not to disclose that. So if they want to go public, they're more than welcome to. But it wasn't, I didn't prompt them. They just said it to me. And so I posted it because Ian Carroll had also picked up on the underlying sense of fear from Charlie Kirk. And I said, you know, you're not wrong. He's scared that if he goes against them, they'll kill him. And you think, well, that's crazy. Charlie Kirk's the number one Zionist. Like, again, when the shooting happened yesterday, I completely forgot about all this. I was thinking far leftist. I was thinking radical Palestinian because Charlie Kirk is very pro-Zionist and the Palestinians are very radical in this country. So I wasn't even thinking about this until I saw somebody repost it. I was like, oh, shoot, that's right. But it's like, but he hasn't gone against Israel, right? He's still the pro-Zionist guy. He's still very pro-Zionist. So it doesn't even make sense. Why would Israel kill their top soldier in America? Doesn't seem to make much sense. Then I started thinking about it more. And you start thinking about, or people started posting some videos of Charlie changing his tune recently. Going a little bit against Israel, tempering his statement. And as I said a month ago, like he kind of has to because Israel is so outrageous at this point that you can't really maintain legitimacy as a right-wing political commentator if not... If you still support Israel. So he's a damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of situation. From Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Charlie Kirk was a steadfast friend of Israel, a true ally of the Jewish people. He stood proudly for the Judeo-Christian values that bind Israel and America. Charlie's fearless commitment to the truth and freedom cost him his life. Violence may have taken him, but it cannot silence his legacy. May his memory be a blessing. All right, so imagine you're Israel and you got this Charlie Kirk guy who's really doing good work for you. It's massive. It is an existential issue for you to have support from the United States because without the support of the United States, Israel will be destroyed. So you have to maintain good public relations with America. Charlie Kirk is very good at doing that. But then he starts to slip a little bit. He starts talking about Epstein being a part of Mossad. And he starts talking about Jewish groups funding anti-white programs in America. He starts going in that direction. Well, you can either keep your hands off and allow him to go in that direction and allow him to take the platform that you helped build him and turn it against you. You can let Charlie Kirk take this incredibly powerful national organization that you spent a lot of money to build and he can turn it anti-Israel and he can go against Israel. And all those people that follow him, we're all very pro-Israel now. Maybe they go along with him, and maybe Israel is destroyed as a consequence down the line. And maybe you're spying on his communications, and maybe you're seeing that he's talking to some people, and maybe he's saying, you know, I think I'm not going to go totally anti-Israel, but I think I have to start dipping my toe in that direction. I think I'm going to start going in that direction. The last public appearance he did before the shooting, the event in which the shooting took place, was a... you know, big presentation about a month before with Tucker Carlson and several others. And every single person on that stage brought up Israel in a negative light and brought up Jeffrey Epstein. Very unique and new for a Charlie Kirk event. Then you have the fact that it was apparently Israeli media was the first to report on Charlie Kirk's death. Benjamin Netanyahu was the first state leader or politician of any sort to comment. As far as I can tell, and from what, I mean, 3 minutes after he was declared dead, Benjamin Netanyahu tweeted it out. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu's office had a direct line of communication to somebody in the hospital room with Charlie Kirk. So what's the other option? So your one option is you let Charlie Kirk go his own way. He's starting to dip his toe in the anti-Israel rhetoric. He's starting to bring on people like Tucker Carlson. Hell, he may even do a debate with Nick Fuentes soon, and they might agree on things. That would not be good for you. That would be taking one of the most powerful weapons in your arsenal and turning it against you. So what's the other option? What happens if you kill Charlie Kirk and, I don't know, blame it on a Palestinian? You, of course, stop his transformation. You stop his transition into being anti-Israel. You outrage and terrify the right wing in America, which they, you know, keep using that in order to expand anti-Semitism laws and things like that. You can, you know, further demonize not just Palestinians, but campus Palestinians. The murder happened on a college campus, after all. So that really contributes to the very massive push towards shutting down anti-Israel, you know, comments on campuses. So while at first it's like this seems perfectly in line with the radical left, and I'm still sort of up in the air about it. I still think it's like it's almost like 50-50 that it's like really a leftist being crazy, really a pro-Palestinian person wanting to take out a well-known Zionist in America. Or that would be exactly what you want Mossad to, that's exactly what Mossad would want you to believe. And it's like both of these are equally likely as far as I am concerned. And just as likely as a transgender radical going out and shooting Charlie Kirk. I at first blush, the idea that it was Israel didn't even occur to me until I saw my old tweet and getting posted everywhere. And then I saw the things people were posting about what Charlie Kirk has been saying in the very recent past and the way he's been changing his message and the way he's been bringing on anti-Zionist people and talking about Jeffrey Epstein and all this stuff. And it kind of clicked to me, like, that would actually be, in a gruesome and Machiavellian way, a very brilliant move. You don't let the guy go against you. You make him a martyr for your cause. You use his death to further silence people from speaking out against it. And it would have gone perfectly if not for my tweet. That's the crazy thing. Because it doesn't make any sense to say Israel killed the number one Zionist in America. That doesn't make any sense. Like, if not for my tweet, it would be very hard to make the case that Israel killed Charlie Kirk because Charlie Kirk was so pro-Israel, it just genuinely is, it doesn't make any sense. That does not make any sense, right? Until you realize that if he was going against Israel, if he was starting to move in that direction, then they had every incentive to take him out. Becomes significantly more useful to them as a martyr for their cause. And I'm sure they expected, like, he's the best, he's the most pro-Israel person ever. Nobody's going to think we'd kill him. Until my tweet reframes the whole thing, which I posted a month ago. I didn't know he was going to be killed. I didn't know it was going to be on air when it happened. I feel like in a very weird way, God is using me. I don't know why. Or to what end? But none of this was intentional. None of this was planned. I mean, what are the odds? I average like 2 hours on Alex Jones's show a year, right? I'll host an hour here. I'll host an hour a couple months later. I don't think I've hosted a show for Alex Jones in 6 months or something. And even then, I think I was on with Chase. I mean, it's been a long time. And then I just happened to go on air yesterday, and it just happens to be during that segment that Charlie Kirk gets shot, and it happens to be that a month before, I'm the only one who went public with the fact that Charlie Kirk was scared Israel was going to kill him. I don't know why this is happening like this. Feels like God is using me like a pawn on a chessboard, and it's a strange situation to be in, personally. And so let's take a look at some of what Charlie Kirk was saying. Clip number 33, this is the one that's been posted around quite a bit. I believe this was from May of this year. So all these clips are from just the last few months. Here's Charlie Kirk talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
Jewish communities have pushing the exact kind of hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. Now, I don't like generalizations. Not every Jewish person believes that. But it is true the Anti-Defamation League was part and parcel with Black Lives Matter. It is true that some of the largest financiers of left-wing anti-white causes have been Jewish Americans. They went all in on woke, and it wasn't just ADL. It was some of the top Jewish organizations in the country that have done that. In fact, we have seen this with the recent retreat of Jewish donations that are no longer going to be administered to colleges, right? Mark Rowan, Leon Kopperman. Can we get that full list? It's very powerful. The part of the, so that's totally true. And by the way, Tucker Carlson reinforces this. So I'm going to kind of, it was quite a day on the internet. Tucker Carlson was interviewing Candace Owens. We have Candace Owens coming up next hour. And Tucker Carlson mentions that Jewish Americans have primarily been financing cultural Marxist ideas. We said this, by the way, last week, and people came after us.
We were on top of it.
We actually said it in a different way. We said, I'm glad that Jewish Americans are reconsidering their financing of cultural Marxism. And people misunderstood it intentionally and slandered us as being anti-Semites. But listen to this. Tucker Carlson is completely correct by saying this, that the philosophical foundation of anti-whiteness has been largely financed by Jewish donors in the country.
Okay, so he's sort of toeing the line there. Sort of going farther than he ever has. And you can hear the frustration coming out. Just a little bit. Just starting to eke out there. I believe that was in May of this year. Or may have been even more recent. But I believe that was May of this year. Then you have this, clip number 26. Charlie Kirk was asking some uncomfortable questions about October 7th. Let's watch.
I've been to Israel many times. The whole country's a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still had the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that's an IDF soldier. Right? The whole country is surveilled. And so let me just kind of go through this. We don't talk about Israeli politics very often, and most Americans don't know this. The last 9 months, Israel was on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu was basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not willing to say, to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here, but I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand down order? Whew. Was there a stand down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's the size of New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes.
Wow.
6 hours. They're live streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand down? That is a legitimate non-conspiracy question. The whole country is the IDF. The whole country is.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell me that they're going to concerts and kibbutzes and schools and by report.
Okay. So there you go. Another example of him maybe breaking with the will of the Netanyahu government that acts like he's such a friend. Okay, we got another video, clip 35. This is even more recent. Here he is with Megyn Kelly.
We're going to just stamp out everything type of practice, but it goes to the point where if, for example, if I have less ability sometimes online to criticize the Israeli government without backlash than actual Israelis do. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really weird, isn't it, Megan? That's not
so
right.
Wrong-headed. I'll tell you this for me. So I got some blowback after saying Mossad possibilities with Epstein, a comment behind which I stand. I mean, I realize, and I of course reported what Alan Dershowitz has said as his lawyer. He says, I think he would have told me. He didn't say he had any of those connections. I hear all that. That doesn't mean it's not true. I think all these things should be explored. It's one of the many things that should be explored around Epstein. But saying that, and also saying he might be a U.S. asset, et cetera, doesn't make you anti-Semitic.
Yes, it does. Yes, no, it actually does, according to the current definition of that word. And that was even, you know, that was not the interview that I was talking about earlier with Megyn Kelly and Charlie Kirk, where I thought they sounded scared. In that case, he's even more sort of worked up about it. Clearly, he's getting blowback. He's getting pushback, but he's still pushing, but he's still saying, but I got to say this, but it's true. How am I not going to say this? Let's go to 58. This video was 48 hours before the shooting. He's talking to Ben Shapiro. Here it is.
And one thing a friend said to me, interestingly, which is, okay, Charlie, we've pushed back against the media on COVID, on lockdowns, on Ukraine, on the border, on, it's like, maybe we should also ask a question. Is the media totally presenting the truth when it comes to Israel? Just a question, you know, that maybe we shouldn't believe everything the media says, because I know I've been conditioned to ask a lot more critical questions over the last couple of years. So Ben, some people would accuse Israel of wanting to ethnically cleanse.
Charlie Kirk was murdered for speaking truth and defending freedom. That's what Benjamin Netanyahu says about it. Again, the first public figure, I believe, the first public figure to announce his death, Benjamin Netanyahu. And we've got people who are sort of saying things that, again, it's like you can almost see the subconscious going, well, this is kind of weird, but it's fine. But it's fine. But it's kind of weird, though, isn't it? Let's go to clip number 38 here.
Hey, everybody, just an update on what's going on. It is 1:45 Pacific time. And as you guys have been watching the news, there's conflicting reports all around the globe. Literally all around the globe. Israeli news service and Benjamin Netanyahu had made a comment and made the announcement that Charlie Kirk had passed, that he was in fact dead, that Charlie has died. They made that announcement roughly 20 minutes after the shooting. U.S. News reported nothing of that, that he was stable. Some reports said that he was in surgery. Of course, obviously, I've talked to people who were literally on this, in the presence of Charlie, trying to stabilize him. CNN is just now reporting that he is in fact passed. Tonight, special service this evening. Not exactly sure how this is going to work out. I'm going to be very honest with you, and I'm only speaking to the Calvary Chapel Chino Hills family right now. I've had to make a decision between going through with service. Fox News is now announcing Charlie Kirk is dead. 1:46 Pacific time. Fox News. CNN is reporting that he has passed.
All right, so we can take it out. But that was just standing in. It's a guy like, you know, Israel and Netanyahu made the announcement. I don't know how they knew. It's like, well, how do you think? Again, if you're plotting this, you're going to take the shot, but you're also going to have somebody in the hospital. And this is a pretty regular thing with assassinations. And you know what? If it comes out and it looks like it is, and again, this wasn't Charlie Kirk getting shot and me going, it was Israel, like right away. I didn't even occur to me until somebody posted my, but then the more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, this actually is in line with a lot of stuff that, you know, the way Charlie Kirk is moving away and how terrible that would be for Israel if that was the case and how they can, you know, make him a martyr for the cause and that nobody would expect them because he's so pro-Israel, but he's moving away. And maybe, again, they had internal communications between him and other people where he was a little bit even more, you know, honest about how he felt or his intentions moving into the future. The fact that he was having guests on where every single guest mentioned Epstein and Israel, he was getting out of control. He may have been put down. And then you look at suspected assassinations like General Patton after World War II. Similar kind of thing. This is General Patton. This is the guy who won the war against the Nazis. Why would Jews want to kill that guy, right? I should love that guy. Well, it turns out as he traveled through Germany after the war, he started to ask some questions about what exactly they were fighting for and who was organizing all this. And he made some very disparaging statements against the Jewish people that were managing the post-war disbursement of German goods, basically. And then he was in a car crash. He was sitting in the back seat. He was the only one injured in the car crash. He broke his neck, but he was alive at the hospital where he later died from injuries that he shouldn't have died from. And they think that he was injected with something like cyanide. And that's the way you want to do it if you have the ability to, you know, have that many people stationed everywhere. You shoot the guy, but then you want to have the person at the hospital in case it looks like they're going to survive. You can finish the job. And somehow, Benjamin Netanyahu was the first person to know that Charlie Kirk was dead. Meaning, again, he had communication with somebody in the hospital with Charlie Kirk. And now we have this, clip number 30. This is John Solomon about what the FBI says about foreign involvement. Let's watch.
And we all lost, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on today, we lost something important in America today. But the case goes on. The investigation goes on. There's a lot of piecing of evidence together. We don't have a shooter tonight. We have a couple leads, a couple people that were released that probably aren't the shooter. There's a couple hot leads. There's a little bit of foreign intelligence. And I think over the next couple of days, we will learn a lot more. And hopefully we will bring to justice the evil person who did what they did to Charlie today.
Yeah, I hope so. I am hearing that they do have a couple of people of interest. That's the latest they I do. Heard from
so,
law.
So again, I'm very confused the way he phrased everything there is a little bit suspicious. He said, we don't have a shooter. We had two suspects in custody that we let go that we don't think are the shooter. And it's like, well, if you let him go, you probably should have confirmed that they weren't the shooter before you let him go. You know, it was just weird. He's like, we're pretty sure aren't the shooter. It's like, that's very weird. I mean, did you question them? Why were they there? Why were they making a distraction so the shooter could get away? Why were they acting like they were the shooter? Even though they weren't. I mean, that's a little bit odd. And then he says there's foreign intelligence coming in. Now, some people are, you know, reposting this and going, see, he said a foreign government is involved. No. He said foreign intelligence is coming in. Translation, Israel is directing America who to go after. That's what that means. Who else do you think foreign intelligence is coming from? Ukraine, that would be the only other option. But that they don't even have intelligence. That's our intelligence operating in Ukraine. So MI5, MI6, maybe. I mean, I guess we'll have to see who this person is. But when he says foreign intelligence is coming in, that means that foreign intelligence agencies are feeding information to our intelligence agencies directing their investigation. That's what that means. Show you more on the other side. We'll go to your calls throughout the entirety of the third hour. I do have more videos to go to, and I'll bring you any updates as they come in. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. I don't know if I need to tell you this, but we're in a war here, and it's getting crazy, folks, and we genuinely, desperately need your help. thealexjonesstore.com.
Go to thealexjonesstore.com and experience these products like ultramethylene blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you, and then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical-grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus. No letdown. 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Detox Super Empowering System for your cardiovascular system, Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is ultramethylene blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the get free $10 ultimate fundraiser sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75 when you check out at 65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air, and I don't own it, soon they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds, the incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Evidence is piling up, folks, that this was a professional job. Now we have some, you know, leaked information that it may have been a trans shooter. The FBI says they have the person's image but haven't released it yet. They made some very suspicious statements yesterday. Shout out to Mel, of course, Village Crazy Lady. She noticed that FBI Director Kash Patel said the subject for this horrific shooting today that took the life of Charlie Kirk is now in custody. Thank you to the local and state authorities for in Utah for your partnership with the FBI. We'll provide updates when able. And Mel at Village Crazy Lady says words matter and shows the definition as used by the FBI between subject and suspect. Basically saying, okay, FBI Director Kash Patel is making this sound like we have the suspect in custody, but he didn't say suspect. He said subject. He said subject. A subject is somebody who might know about the information or involved somehow, but is not the suspect. So she called that, and then hours later, it was revealed that they let that guy go, and he wasn't the shooter at all. Now, I wonder if they really thoroughly questioned these people or if they just figured out that they weren't the shooter and let them go, because I think they were involved. I think that it's not a coincidence that they were at this event and acting suspiciously while the shooter escaped. Because then they could go, what? I don't have a gun. I didn't shoot anybody. I wasn't even anywhere near the shooting. I just happened to, you know, cause the commotion that distracted the cops and got all the eyes on me while the shooter got away. Yelling, shoot me, saying I, you know, have a right to remain silent. Why would you say that if you're not the shooter or trying to act like the shooter? It's very suspicious. And again, people are noticing this. Let's go to this video. This is an FBI expert on Fox News yesterday.
I think this assassination, different than the assassinated attempt back in Butler, Pennsylvania, was a very well-planned, very well-orchestrated plot that was put in motion days before. And this individual had a plan of escape to elude detection of being out up on a rooftop and also being able to evade and elude law enforcement after that shot was taken. When you take a look at what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, Crooks came onto the venue. He left the venue. He came back. He was questioned. I mean, it was really an amateur scenario. This assassination of Charlie Kirk, to me, is indicative of a professional hit. And I'm not so sure that we are going to quickly be able to apprehend this individual without some luck, hopefully.
When you say professional hit, what do you mean by that exactly? Do you mean one shot, one kill, escape already planned and at large? It looks clean, yes, but could this be done by anybody with any sort of basic training?
Well, when you take a look at the video and you take a look at the venue and the spectators and how close they are to Charlie Kirk, and then you have that kind of like umbrella over him, that kind of tent, you have to know that this shooter had to be perched in a position with respect to being able to lay his sights perfectly, a headshot. And the shot that was taken to immediately incapacitate Charlie Kirk. And so this was not some amateur who just, you know, got up on a rooftop because it was, you know, what I consider spontaneous combustion. He got up this morning and decided he was going to do something crazy. This seems the earmark of a professional that got up onto this rooftop well in advance of the venue being occupied by the spectators. He was clearly undetected. There was no indication that anybody saw him up on this rooftop. Obviously, after that one single shot was taken, he was able to basically very quietly and systematically elude any further detection and escape. There's been no indication.
Yeah, it seems like a professional hit. That's what the FBI is saying. Pretty much all they're saying. We're not getting a lot of other info.
Live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm going to go off your phone calls. I haven't even shown some of the videos of the leftists celebrating this and, like, telling us who they really are. I need to show you some of those. I'll do that in the next segment. And I just want to present sort of one more or a few more sort of very suspicious things about this assassination when it comes to Israel. So in response to my tweet a month ago, I said, I'm not going to name names, but I was told by somebody close to Charlie Kirk that Charlie thinks Israel will kill him if he turns against them. Somebody responded to that 3 weeks ago saying if Charlie turned heel on Israel, they would have somebody shoot him at an open air event and they would have some idiot groiper with a genetic anomalous issue there to be the patsy slash fall guy. Part of why you never make the deal with the devil in the first place. So that was on August 13th. So a month ago, that guy was like, yeah, you know, if they're going to kill him, it'd be at an open air event, one of his, you know, things, maybe at a campus, and they'd blame it on one of their enemies. Very interesting. And then this is from StellarMan22. Attached is a 2-hour time lapse of Provo airport traffic immediately following the assassination. If the FBI and Orem police supposedly set up a manhunt within the vicinity, why was an airport 5 miles away not locked down? Where were the flight restrictions? Some manhunt. So the flights never stopped, never slowed down. We're taking off and landing constantly at that airport, 5 minutes away from the venue. Very easily, this assassin could have gotten off the roof, gotten in a car, driven to the airport, and been gone. Been in the air 10 minutes after the shooting. And in fact, they've tracked a plane, a private jet, 30 minutes into the flight, it drops off of ADS-B illegally. So it dropped its flight tracker and then reappeared, headed back to Provost approximately an hour later. Why did this plane turn off its radar? Where's the shooter? So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It's just, you know, a little bit more suspicious activity that people are looking into and noticing. How can this be a manhunt? How could you have locked things down when an airport 5 minutes from the venue was never shut down even for a minute? I wonder if we'll ever find this guy. With that, we go out to your calls now. Let's go to Valerie in Kentucky. Thanks for calling in, Valerie. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you. How are you?
I just wanted to say I'm praying for Charlie's parents, especially his mother. My son was born the day after Charlie. I have a son the same exact age. And my message is to anybody who is having these thoughts of killing people or complicit with this or making excuses for something like this. That is not your thought. That is demonic thoughts. So cry out in the name of Jesus against those demonic thoughts, because you are being controlled by evil. If you are going along with this or doing this, those are not your thoughts. It just has to stop. How many people have to die before the left realizes that they need to come away from evil? It's not Democrat and Republican. It's good and evil. People need to pick a side.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, and it really, really hits you. I feel the same way about seeing the video of Charlie Kirk with his daughter, because I have a daughter the same age.
Yeah.
Not and again, right. I mean, the message to the left is you're not allowed to pretend like you don't know anymore. You're not, we can't even allow these people to act like they're anything but what they are. A heartless cabal of psychopaths, man. Let's go to some of these videos. Let's go to clip number 66. Just think about the mindset of this person and what you do when this type of person not only exists in your country, not only has a vote that's equal to your vote, but is on camera with his full face in public where he lives saying this type of stuff. What do we do about this exactly? Let's go to clip 66 here.
Do you support his death?
They're at a vigil for Charlie Kirk in Seattle right now.
You support Charlie Kirk being killed?
Yes, I do.
On the day he died, you're here at a vigil for Charlie Kirk and you support his death?
Do you support a Nazi?
No, I don't support a Nazi. Charlie Kirk wasn't a Nazi. You support his shooter?
Yep, sure do.
You support Charlie Kirk's shooter?
Sure do. He does all
favors. Would you shoot somebody like Charlie Kirk?
I would have killed him myself.
You would have killed him yourself? Okay. Do you have a job here in Seattle?
Nope. I do TikTok for a living.
Oh, I do TikTok for a living. He should be in jail. Like, that guy should, be in jail. I don't know. I mean, something has to be done to these people. I mean, if nothing else, they at least have to be scared to voice that, right? I'm okay living in a country where these people exist because you can't control people's thoughts, but they should be scared of ever expressing anything like that. That guy's not scared. The guy's advertising it. He's being filmed. He knows he's being filmed. He's in public with his face, and he's saying, yeah, I would have killed Charlie Kirk if I could have. What are you going to do about it? That's what he's asking us. What are we going to do about it? Because they're celebrating this. And that guy, you know, he didn't seem crazy. He didn't seem schizophrenic. He seemed radicalized. He seemed like a Democrat. He seemed like a liberal. He seemed like the Twitch streamers that are paid thousands of dollars a day to spread this type of hate. Let's go to another one. Clip 64, leftist celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination on TikTok. Let's watch. Charlie Kirk's just shot in the neck in Utah event.
Dancing, I don't have to swing in my delivery to make it work for
Charlie
Todd.
Kirk got shot. She's dancing.
I mean, who is Todd?
These are faces. These are their accounts. What are we going to do about this? I ask again, what are we going to do about this? Because we have to make them regret this. We have to make them rue this. We have to make them feel a pit in their stomach every time they think back to, why did I make that video? I can't believe I made that video. I can't believe I said that. We have to destroy their lives. Not because they have a different political opinion, because they are openly violent. Obviously. And we could play hours of these videos. They're all over the place. But again, you've got leftist retards on TikTok. That's not breaking news. But what about how widespread this is? What about that you also have congressmen in our government interrupting a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk? Representatives, some of the highest offices in our land, who are happy that an innocent man and a father of two was murdered in cold blood in front of everybody. What do we do? What do we do about this? I'll take your calls on it, but let's watch this, shall we? Let's go to clip number 18. Unbelievable moment where Representative Boebert asked for a moment of silence, and the Democrats say no. Let's watch.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Colorado rise?
Shh.
So he's asking for a moment of prayer. So they say no.
Let's wait a minute. Wait a minute. The House will be in order. The House will be in order. The House will be in order.
So Lauren Boebert just asked for a moment of silence out of respect for the political assassination that just happened. And the Democrats yell no and start making a commotion. Oh, but it's both sides. Oh, but both sides just really need to tamp down the rhetoric. No, the left is evil and insane and needs to be crushed with the force of the state. What are we going to do about this? Not about Charlie Kirk's shooting alone, but about what it represents and what the reaction to it represents. Do you want more? I mean, it's not like this is anything new. You want to go back a couple of years? Let's go back a couple of years to clip 29. Here's Mike Cernovich a couple of years ago in the White House press briefing room inside the White House asking about violence against Trump supporters, and he gets laughed at. Let's watch.
Why will nobody here cover the violence against Trump supporters? And why will you demand that leaders of the Democrats disavow the violence from Antifa the way you demanded Trump disavow violence from his supporters? This is being completely covered up. You have no answer. I am, Adam. I am. I am a reporter. I'm a documentary filmmaker. And I want to know why nobody will demand that the Democrats disavow Antifa violence, terrorism against women happening in America. Nobody will demand that.
I realize, of course, this is a Republican president. We'll ask Democrats.
Oh, where? Where's the interview of you demanding that Bernie Sanders disavow Antifa? Disavow Antifa. Disavow Antifa. You're not making these demands the way you did with Trump. So it's unfair, and it's very important that this get out there. Thank you.
You know, a lot of people have been saying that, let's go to a few more. Let's go to clip number 28 here. Again, just more videos. Very normal looking people. People you'd see on the street. You'd think they're nice. You'd think they're loving and giving. You don't know. You're dealing with a vampire. You're dealing with a hologram. You're dealing with a shapeshifter. They're not human beings. These people don't have souls. These people are worse than animals. Animals feel bad when things die. These people aren't human. They don't have souls. You see them in the street and they look like a fun loving person that's just having a good time. Inside their heart is this seething mass of tar just dripping with putrescence. These people are sick in the head, and it's almost more disturbing how normal they look. It's very strange. Let's watch.
Bitches, let's all join hands and bow our heads in thoughts and prayers for Charlie Kirk. Thoughts and prayers for Charlie Kirk. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
You'll get fired from your job if you, say the N-word. You'll be arrested, in fact. You'll be charged with a crime. So how dare you? In the midst of all of this, and just, you don't have to look for it. It's not something we have to uncover. In the midst of this outpouring, this public demonstration of evil, of vile hatred against somebody who never hurt anybody ever, the Democrats are still blaming right-wing rhetoric for the death of Charlie Kirk. Let's go down to clip number 21. CBS Morning host lectures Republicans after a Republican was just shot in the middle of an event about the American comeback. Let's watch.
And as Tony mentioned, not everyone took to his words or his rhetoric. You know, at times, they were offensive to specific communities. But with that said, this is not the time to focus on that. We are focused on this tragedy. speaking of this tragedy, is this a moment for your party to reflect on political violence? Is it a moment for us to think about the responsibility of our political leaders?
Is this time for our party to reflect on political violence? Yeah. Oh, we're reflecting on political violence. We're really considering it as a viable option at this point. We're really understanding that it doesn't matter how nicely we treat you people. It doesn't matter how considerate we are. It doesn't matter how normal and loving and generous somebody is. You just killed Charlie Kirk. And you're going to ask us if our party is reflecting on the violent rhetoric? On political violence? This coming from the party, who I can't even keep track of the number of political violent events that have happened from that party in just the last 4 years. Expanded out to 10 years, hundreds of examples. And these people have the balls to ask Republicans, you maybe want to reflect on some of your language now. Oh, we're reflecting. Let's go back. Let's see what else this, what do you do? What do we do about this? What do we do? We're not convincing this. They live in a delusional world of psychopathy. It's the turning point. It's time we stop talking to these people. It's time we stop interacting with these people. It's time we stop granting these people the right in our country to have a voice. I mean, if they wanted Nazis, the best thing to do would be kill Charlie Kirk. So well done. I don't know about anybody else out there, but like if Donald Trump today went out and said, in light of Charlie Kirk's assassination, here's a list of 5,000 Antifa members we've identified and we'll be arresting them. But if you see them, you can arrest them and get $10,000 and we're going to throw them in jail. I'd be out there with a big net catching them. I'd be out there with a big bear trap. I'd put a piece of, I'd put a dildo or something on it. I'd catch him. I'd haul him away and I'd send him away forever. And I wouldn't shed a single tear about the Constitution or freedom of speech because they are incompatible with that idea. I want freedom of speech and we can't have it when you get murdered for your speech. So what do we do? So what do we do? If Trump doesn't get a handle on this, and it's going to take some overwhelming action. It better be from the government, but we're not going to take this. We're not going to allow our leadership to get murdered and not respond. Ball's in Trump's court at this point. And he better start cracking down. Because again, it's not just, I'll show one more clip and I'll go out to videos, or I'll go out to calls rather. There's so many examples. I do not have time to go through all of them. If you go on X, Cody Roberts, lecturer at Cal State University, Monterey Bay, appears to mock Charlie Kirk's assassination. I cannot muster up much sympathy, truly. People are going to argue he has a family, has a wife. Well, what about all the kids that died from school shootings? Oh, well, you know, school shootings happen, so I guess it's fine we killed Charlie Kirk. Are you going to argue with this person? This person needs to be silenced. And they certainly shouldn't be teaching children at a university in America. There's so many things like this. Will Stancil. Well, let's be clear. These are calls for political violence. They're not really related to Charlie Kirk's assassination, about which nothing is known. He's like, oh, we surely shouldn't be calling for violence. Will Stancil. So is there any reason that Biden couldn't just drone strike Trump and end this? We're not talking to these people anymore. We're not discussing these things. We're not engaging with the illusion that we can affect their minds through words. It is only war now. And that's the way we need to treat this. These are not our fellow Americans. They are enemy combatants that happen to live near us. They made that abundantly clear. We have tried everything humanly possible to avoid this. Let me just read. I'm sorry. There's two more things. One final video here, because this one is truly shocking. It is the media outlet TMZ, clip number 68. In this clip, it's just before it was announced that Charlie Kirk was killed. And you can hear in the background the staff of this office cheering and clapping and applauding when they receive the news that Charlie Kirk, father of two, innocent man, is dead. Let's go to clip number 68 now.
If he's still on the loose because they want to find him. So I would think that that's one of the main reasons they're holding this news conference. So my guess is we're going to see an image of this guy possibly in the next 20 minutes. The news conference is scheduled for 3 o'clock in Utah time, which is 2 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah.
5 o'clock Eastern. Janet.
Wait for it. Go. They just received the news.
Go to, have somebody look at the Fox. Trump just posted that Charlie Kirk is dead.
Did you hear that? That was a live stream of the team. We can pull it down. That was a live stream of the TMZ office cheering and clapping and applauding and laughing when the death was announced. Oh, they denied it? It's on video. TMZ denies laughing and cheering. It's on video. Should we play it again? What do you mean they denied it? I can deny wearing a black tie right now. Guess what? Doesn't fucking matter what they deny. They laughed. They cheered when they heard Charlie Kirk was dead. And they'd laugh and cheer if they heard you were dead or your children were dead or Donald Trump was dead or Alex Jones was dead. These people are showing you exactly who they are. Believe them. This is from Nick Freitas. I'm told that as a state representative, this is the moment where I'm supposed to express my heartfelt condolences and then stand in solidarity with those on the other side of the aisle as we condemn political violence and stand united as one people. But we aren't one people, are we? The truth is we haven't been for some time now, and there's really no point in pretending anymore, even if there ever was. We are two very different people. We may occupy the same piece of geography, but that's where our similarities seem to abruptly end. I convinced myself for a long time that whenever the left called me a racist, a bigot, a sexist, a fascist, a threat to democracy, for even the most innocent of disagreements, it was simply hyperbolic rhetoric done for effect. Now the effect is a widow and two orphaned children, because the left couldn't bear the thought of a peaceful man debating them and winning. I don't think they realized it yet, but murdering Charlie is going to be remembered as the day we finally woke up to what this fight really is. It's not a civil dispute amongst fellow countrymen. It's a war between diametrically opposed worldviews which cannot peacefully coexist with one another. One side will win and one side will lose. Charlie tried to win that fight through argumentation, through discussion, through peaceful resolution of differences, and the other side murdered him. Not because he was extreme or inciting violence or any other hyperbolic slur they hurled at him. They murdered him because he was effective, because he was unafraid, because he inspired others and made them feel like they had a voice and were not alone. And he did it at the very institutions which fomented so much hatred towards conservatives and conservatism. Social media is aflame right now with leftist celebrations of Charlie Kirk's death. I wonder if any among them understand what has just happened. If there's a Yamamoto somewhere in their midst warning that all they've done is awaken a sleeping giant. I doubt it. They gave up such introspection and self-awareness long ago. I don't know exactly what will happen next. I just know it won't be the same as what happened in the past. There will be thoughts and prayers. Charlie would have wanted prayers, but not for himself, but for those left behind and the country that he loved. But then there will be a reckoning. My Christian faith requires me to love my enemies and praise for those who curse me. It does not require me to stand idly by in the midst of savagery and barbarism. Quite the opposite. Rest with God, Charlie. Your fight is over. Ours is just beginning. And he goes on. Let's go to clip number 3. This is the person that the left is cheering when they hear his death announced.
Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on, but we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on because 80% of the funding goes into legal because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to thealexshowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue. Well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC moss, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there, limited time, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75, $75.01, suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount off of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum selling out. The capsules from Methylene Blue selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, if your information's powerful, you want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
I took down those goblins single-handedly. But I couldn't have done it without the help of Ultimate Burn. Order yours now. Fight the globalists and unlock maximum cognitive power with MK Ultra, an advanced neuroboost formula.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, folks, we have some more information coming out about the suspected shooter. He appears to be of college age. He went through stairwells and climbed up on a roof to a shooting location. After the shooting, they were able to track his movements. The mainstream media is already lying about this and covering it up, if you can believe it. Again, I think strip these people's licenses from them. Clip number 70, CNN is censoring the fact that Charlie Kirk's the rifle of the shooter who killed Charlie Kirk had transgender writings on it. They call him something else. Let's watch.
A lot to go on. Today, as they say, key breakthroughs, but the manhunt continues.
I didn't have the actual clip. They called them cultural writings. Cultural writings. It's just insane. Let's go back out to your calls now. We'll go to Damien in Southern California. Thanks for calling in and holding. I appreciate it. You're on the air, Damien.
Hello, Harrison. Hello, InfoWars staff and fellow InfoWarriors. I just called to share a little message today. After the wake of Charlie's death, I wound up speaking with my mom for a couple of hours yesterday, and she wound up telling me that my sister was very moved by his death, which came as a surprise to me because I kind of lost my sister to the InfoWar way back in 2016. She was going through some tough times with mom, and her dad kicked her out of the house, told her that, you know, you want to be like your mom, go live with your mom. And, you know, she kind of turned to the internet to fill that void that was missing. Very quickly became sucked into the whole LGBTQ movement and all that stuff. Mm. You know, moved on to small tattoos here and there, and then full on piercings all over her body and all that. You guys have actually played a couple of her social media clips online. One of them is the girl who's laughing at the baby that's being beaten and murdered. I think it was like something on abortion or something like that. It was really dark. I remember seeing that you guys aired that, and I was like, holy shit, wow, that's my sister. Look how far we've come. You know, my wonderful little sister is possessed by something demonic, you know? And so it really surprised me yesterday when I spoke to my mother, and she said that she was upset about Charlie's death. And so I just sent a message to my sister, said, hey, hope you're doing well. Give me a call. Talked for about an hour and a half last night. And come to find out, she's totally come full circle. And she's beginning to see the light. You know, it's not an immediate process. It's a slow, gradual thing. And so whatever hand you had in that, Charlie, thank you. Your sacrifice is not in vain. And if there's one person out there that is also like my sister, it's worth it, you know, because, like, we all die. You know,
wow.
Not everyone is able to make, not everyone is able to make a profound effect on people like that, you know? And so I know myself, I sowed those little seeds into my sister over a decade ago. And I don't know, those seeds have been watered and watered and watered. And Charlie had a hand in that. And I'm sure other people did too. And it's just absolutely amazing to see
that is amazing.
What is coming of this. Yeah. But anyway, also, you know, you were talking about the transponder thing. I saw the note on the community note on the transponder about the plane that left Utah, and conveniently the note was, what was it? It was like, oh, well, this FAA regulation was recreated in 2024 to help celebrities like Taylor Swift
avoid
keep
being
their
tracked.
Private, right. Avoid being tracked, right? And how convenient. That's almost as convenient as the, 2012 Smith Modernization Act, right?
Right.
Just convenient. Just so convenient that we just passed these laws.
That allow planes to go dark once they're in the air. Man, what a powerful call, Damien. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, it's true, and we say it a lot here, but, like, the impulse that informs the left often comes from the same source as the right. It's just it's taken, it's hijacked, it's misdirected. Because you hear people that – the guy that celebrated killing Charlie Kirk, he's like, yeah, you know, I'll fight for freedom. And it's like, you're talking about killing a father of two who controls nothing and nobody. He's a CEO of a entertainment company. And you think that's fighting for freedom? Like they have this natural to them, this state of humanity that they don't like seeing injustice. They don't like seeing hatred and violence. And yet the left takes that impulse and just twists and morphs and perverts it until it's unrecognizable and an inverse of what it originally was, which is why I look at these people and I go, what did they do to you? How did they make you such a hateful monster? The pretty girl in the Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt, probably a very nice lady, but they just have this sickness in them, this warping of their goodness that makes it worse than just, like, you know, you know, some idiot thug just being bad. It's like, yeah, that's sort of understandable. It's the people that start off so good and then have that goodness inverted and warped and just made into something rotten. I'm so glad that your sister is able to, find her way out of it, man. That is a miracle. What an amazing call. Let's go to, Kill Billy in Ohio. Thanks for calling in. Online too. You're on the air.
Yeah, the, magnetic lock readers, man. They have cards that would have a name. I don't believe that kid or whoever it was even ever left that campus. I think they went back in the building and went down into an infrastructure tunnel and then probably to one of the LDS churches because the Mormons are just Jesuit foot soldiers.
Right. I mean, the fact that it happened in Utah is very suspicious.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. These people are nuts. And I don't, I called the FCC the other day before I called in, just, you know, and dude, I kept those people on the phone for over an hour, just ripping their asses, just destroying them. I'm like, you know, the CIA is not supposed to run, psyops, domestic operations, and I can sit and watch every show and just break it down character by character by character by character and what the occult dark messages are in all these programs. I can't even enjoy TV anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, dude, that's what we got to do. We got to make the FCC's life a living hell. Because they're the traitors. They're the ones that are – and, dude, if you think Trump's going to do anything about this, you're nuts. In the Antichrist and a cup of tea, he's related to King Charles. Bro, he's related to all these psychopaths.
So what do we do? I mean,
we're just going to have to go into the freaking offices and drag them out physically. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I am not a violent person, but I am not. I just, you know what? I'm 44 years old. I never amounted to shit, and it's about time I lay my life down like Kirk did.
I think a lot of people are feeling like you. I don't think they know what they woke up here. Like I said, I think I don't know what needs to happen. All I know is if these people dancing and celebrating on TikTok a year from now aren't regretting having ever made that, then we will have failed. We've got to do something. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call, Kill Billy. I do want to go to more. George in California. George, thanks so much for calling in. One of our regular callers. You're on the air.
Harrison, God bless you and the crew, brother. Thank you. Thank you for all the support you've given me on Twitter. Obviously, you know my name on Twitter is my actual name, which is a tough spell.
Right.
But thank you, brother. First and foremost, I want to just give you and Brother Owen the biggest shout out because as reasonable and stoic of a person I usually would consider myself, I was rocked when October 7th happened. And it was you and Owen that put me in my spot and said, guys, don't overreact. There's so much more we got, you know, to learn. And obviously they're playing with our emotions. And for someone that didn't even care for Charlie Kirk's message, me speaking personally about myself, brother, I was just rattled to hell yesterday because the images were so disturbing. And yeah. I think that's exactly what they were trying to do to us. And obviously we can see they're fomenting a war within the people or trying to get it there. And I couldn't even watch one of my other favorites, Salty Cracker, brother, which, by the way, let's not forget sight of how powerful satire can be. One of the common and famous phrases of our friend Andrew Wilson, which he has a new show on Rumble, Harrison. Brother, I would love if he has the time to have you and Salty Cracker on his extravaganza on Rumble. How awesome would that be?
Yeah, he's actually going to be on Moonbase soon. He was supposed to be on Moonbase yesterday, but there was a scheduling conflict. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Andrew Wilson. What does he say about sarcasm?
Amen, brother. No, well, the people that always take him out of context, what they do is they say, here's this ortho bro, here's this Christian faith leader. And I'm like, guys, if you've ever watched him for like 5 minutes, he starts off saying that he's an entertainer first and foremost, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't hold to his faith or his beliefs. If anything, another one of his lines is satire and comedy and entertainment altogether are the best ways to get a message across.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he's a self-proclaimed leader of something and they're attacking him completely out of context, which is what this Owen Benjamin beef is about.
Yeah.
But, brother, this, apart from other things, and my prayers go out to his family, to Kirk, because I was sitting there thinking this probably isn't real. Everybody's saying to pray, but I was reluctant to pray myself. But I said, hey, look, man, why are you reluctant to pray? What if something like this happened to people you actually knew? You're going to not pray? So no pain, no ill will on anyone. God be with all his children. And one final thing, brother, I was working with Uncensored America, hoping to get Myron Gaines out to my local town for a campus visit. Obviously, stuff like this is going to be put on hold, but I'm thankful to say for whatever experience I gained, your name and Owen's name was thrown around. So God willing, in the future, if free speech, which I think might be a misnomer just because speech is the medium in which we get ideas across.
Yeah.
And I think they're attacking our ideas, brother. If God willing, one day things can get normal again or calm down, I would love to have either you, Owen, Myron, or anyone who ever wants to come out to my campus. And I look forward to that day. And as always, brother, nothing but appreciation and love to you. God bless you all, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much, George. I'd love to do it. You know, it's such a shame that we have to deal with these people and not just be a normal country. But it's the way it is. I mean, you're in a war. You're in a war. So unless you're behind bulletproof glass, there's no public appearances in my future. Such a bummer, honestly. Let's go to, thank you so much for the call, George. Let's go to Ronan in Texas. Go ahead, Ronan, you're on the air.
Morning, Harrison.
Morning.
I just wanted to point something out that I don't think you've covered it yet, and it could be nothing, but seconds before Kirk was hit, there's a guy in a white shirt and a man in a black outfit, too, and they're acting very strange. They're doing these weird hand symbols and as far as the professionality of this hit, I don't think the shot itself is what makes it, what was making or should make people think this was professional. Because, I mean, frankly, 200-yard shot with a properly zeroed-in optic is not very hard. I mean, you could probably make that shot. I could, too. But it's the getting in and getting out. The whole plane thing is weird. The guys behind Kirk are weird. It's just weird.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird. I've seen those videos. I didn't actually bring one up today. It is pretty suspicious. I'm seeing if I can find it. Somebody tagged me in one. It was a post on Facebook. I'll go ahead and pull it up. But yeah, the guy basically looks like he is doing baseball symbols in a weird way. He's like touching his hat and his ear. It's very strange. But the reason I didn't bring it up was because there's no information about it. So maybe if you know more than I do, then you can help give some context to it. Let me see if I can bring it up here. Yes, that's it. Yeah,
I thought it was on.
Yeah, so there's the guy. It's like he adjusts his hat and he touches his face. So I guess this was just before the shot is fired?
Correct, like seconds, like 4, 5, so maybe even less, like immediately prior to the shot.
Yeah.
If that was the signal to take the shot, maybe. Again, I'm not into like weird stuff like that, but it was just interesting. And also, as far as these leftists, I'm not sure why anybody is surprised. I mean, I know people are surprised just by seeing it actually happening, but these are people that cheer on abortions. I'm not surprised or shocked at all. I mean, I'm disappointed seeing them do it, but I mean, I'm not shocked whatsoever. These people are pure evil. Charlie Kirk was like your normie next-door neighbor Republican. Like,
yeah.
80% of the people that can hear my voice right now think
it's
way
you.
More extreme things than he does.
100%. Could not agree with you more. Thank you for that call, Ronan. I don't know about the hand signals. They do look suspicious to me. And the fact that it happens a second before the shot, I don't know who that guy is exactly. Maybe we get some information on that. But I do see people posting it. I don't know. Hitting a target at 200 meters is not hard. Hitting the carotid artery from an elevated position in a real life situation, and taking one shot and then being out and nobody seeing you. I mean, it could have been an amateur, but all the professionals I know are saying it seemed professional. So that's what I'm going with. Thank you for the call, Ron. And let's go to Mike in Arkansas now.
Shit.
Mike in Arkansas on line 7. I think your mic is open, CJ. Line 7 there. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
First of all, I would like everybody to join me 5 seconds for a moment of silence, not just for Charlie, but for all the other heroes that we have lost in this info war. Long live Seth Rich. Long live Julian Assange. Long live Jamie White. Long live Charlie Kirk.
Amen.
Now, Harrison, I'm talking to everybody out there. That's all the Johnny Come Latelys, everybody packing mags and tightening vests. We need to chill the hell out on this, all right? This is a fifth-generation warfare fight. This is how the InfoWar is fought. It is not fought with bullets. It is fought with words. And quite frankly, Harrison, you are talking some very borderline accelerationist stuff right now. We've been fighting this fight for 30 years now. Alex has. I've been in this for 20. You're about to shit the bed, man. Don't.
Well, that's why I keep saying, like, I don't want anybody to do it. I want the government to crack down on these people. I want them to, like, round up the Antifa networks that we know are operating right now.
We are winning.
I get that. Especially if this was a false flag of some sort, obviously the intention is to, you know, make it emotional and then use that emotion to, you know, justify crackdowns on liberty or going after anti-Semites or whatever it is. So I'm trying not to fall for that. What I don't want is to be the side that goes, oh, they killed one of our people. Gee, can we come together already? It's like, I'm just done with that. I'm done with acting like it's both sides or accepting the left putting the violence on us. Like, that's why I've said it 100 times a show. What do we do? What do we do? I don't want violence. That's the whole point of all of this. And when they kill our people, that's what they're going to inspire, which is why we don't want them to do it, right? So I'm sorry I'm yelling. I'm not yelling at you, Mike. Like, I get what you're saying. I'm thinking the same thing, too. I'm like, I don't want to go too far here.
We do exactly what we've been doing. We do exactly what we've been doing for the past 20 years. It works. We are winning. We are grieving them. That is why they are killing us. Now, yesterday, this broadcast advocated for everybody getting armed, everybody being vigilant, everybody getting training, and I second that. Constitutional carry in every state should be the law of the land.
Absolutely.
But we cannot, strategically, we cannot pop off like we want to right now. That's when we lose. I'd like to thank Damien for calling in a second ago because he's making my point right now. Our heroes, who unfortunately we do die, our heroes win by converting them into us. That is a net positive 2 victory. They lose a soldier, we gain one. That is how we've been fighting this for 30 years, and it works.
I agree. You know, maybe I'm coming from a different angle because I'm public, because, you know, I put myself out there. Like, you know, I went home as soon as I could yesterday to just be near my family with a gun in my pocket, just making sure I was there. Like, maybe it's a different level for those of us that are, like, publicly involved. But, like, you know, what do we do when we have – a society that demonizes us, that threatens us, that justifies our murder, that spreads our docs around, that just swats us earlier this year. I mean, this has gone on forever. So it's like, what are we supposed to do?
That's exactly what we let them hang themselves. That's exactly what they're doing. We are winning.
It's like, okay, you know, you expect if someone's calling for violence that, yeah, all the good people would move away from them, but they aren't. I mean, even the videos I showed today of the Democrats saying our side is the worst, our side is evil, our side is demonic. One of them called it demonic, but they're still Democrats. They still identify as Democrats. I mean, what do you do when half of your country, like, yes, theoretically, we should be able to talk to these people and they should be able to realize, gee, I'm on the side of the psychopath murderers. I don't want to be on this side. I'll change my mind. But they don't. They justify it. They cover it up. They facilitate it. I mean, How are we going to fix this? By talking to the people that sit there and go, yeah, I'm glad Charlie Kirk's dead and I'd kill him next? Or are we supposed to talk to the person behind them that hears that and doesn't think it's that bad? I mean, what do we do?
This generation warfare. Your heart, your mind, your soul is their target. And they win when you give it over to them. You cannot pop off like this, especially in heated anger. Because that's giving in to the devil. Cooler heads will prevail, and they have been prevailing. I think yesterday, Alex said, very heavily hinted, that he's got meetings this weekend with people, quote, on the East Coast and the West Coast, and, quote, he was summoned. You don't summon Alex Jones unless you have the power of the court. You invite him. I think those indictments are coming in. I think they're calling him in. But either way, we are still winning this fight, and we cannot ruin it by justifying everything that they say about us with a hot-headed, rash action.
You know, I'm glad you called in, and I appreciate this call, and I'm trying to take the criticism, you know, for how you're saying it, and I agree. But again, I don't want the left to get away with this. I mean, it's really as simple as that. I don't want to be back here a month from now or a year from now with nothing's changed and they've killed more of our side. And we're, you know, they just shot the conversation guy in the neck, man. I mean, what? Again,
this individual may get away with it, but they, as the group, are not. We know them for what they are. We know who they are, and we know how to attack them. And that is what we have been doing for a long, long time. And we are winning, sir. We cannot crap the bed with rash action and hot heads. Cooler heads will prevail, and they have been prevailing. Now, I understand completely, man. If things pop off, I will be up there on the front line with my Alex Jones daggers and tactical knives and trench knives and my .45 and God, country, family, man. I will do what it takes. But until then, we cannot strategically allow them the justification that killing Charlie Kirk provokes from us.
Well, look, I have not called for violence. I've been heated, and I've been saying that if you want to create Nazis, if you want to, you know, bring about all the things that they think they're fighting, like what by killing Charlie Kirk, they've brought that closer to the fore than ever before. Again, that's a criticism of them. It's a criticism of them, assassinating Charlie Kirk. I'm just sick of being in a world where the left is out there on camera with their faces going, yeah, we should kill Charlie Kirk. And by the way, Ben Shapiro should be next. Blue Sky, they're all over suggesting who should be killed next. While our side is afraid to even express anger when one of our most pacifist and, you know, moderate leaders is shot in the neck in front of a crowd. I just let them calm us down. I don't think we need to be calming our side down right now. I just don't.
Go to thealexjonesstore.com and experience these products like Ultramethylene Blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you. And then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus. No letdown. 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the detox super empowering system for your cardiovascular system. Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is the Ultramethylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75, when you check out, it's $65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, what an adventure to wear it, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air, and I don't own it, soon they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.